Howard, you people, Starship Rokan Show, back for another week of broadcast insolence, and the kids are back in town. Thank God. I would like to say they're beautifully tanned.
Especially Kev. He really didn't want to put on any sunscreen that whole trip.
Kev, you know, during the summer, because Kevin, for those who are not familiar, Kevin's got a very light sort of Northern European kind of pallor about him. Mm-hmm. And this... The idea of a lot of sun, I've never seen Kevin do anything but lightly burn.
Yeah, well, in the summer, because I'm constantly on the golf course and sipping on a few adult pops, I always call it the tavern tan, because it's kind of like slightly red. Mm-hmm. This Mexico tan's a little different for me. Mm-hmm. Like, normally you don't see my skin...
Deeper brown.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's why Mexico is such a special place.
It's amazing.
Yes. Well, in all fairness, I made him put sunscreen on his face a few times. Because I was worried about the blisters you might...
Right. And you had some special aloe, or your friend did, and that, I think, played a crucial role in developing this tan.
They're expensive over there if you go to the local shop.
Well, they know they got you.
It's like gold over there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you don't want to leave the resort because there's guys with submachine guns, mm-hmm. and then you've got the... you got a whole other sort of situation inside the resort where, oh my God, I forgot my sunscreen. So you go to the store and everything is, you know, pretty inexpensive in Mexico, relatively. Mm-hmm. And it's at an all-inclusive. You're never even thinking about the money. Right. And then it is, how much for that? $200 for a bottle of sunscreen.
You've got to barter for everything.
In all reality, it was $50. 50 American dollars for two little tubes of sunscreen.
Every time I took some, I was like quick paying Lauren, because I'm like, that was $4 at least for that little squirt of sunscreen.
They got you.
They got
you. Well, you can go off campus.
Yeah. They did have like vendors outside of the actual gift shop where people you can barter with. And I wanted to bring something back for the show, and it didn't really age well because 2 days later, I don't know if you heard, Ro, the Bears lost. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those Mexican skulls, and it's a Bears one.
It's
so
like
I'm like, this is
skull.
Perfect. This is a little show souvenir. We'll throw it in the office. And then I'm like...
That would have been perfect today.
It would have been perfect today. Well,
a
that's
molting
a good point.
Carcass of the Chicago Bears 2019 season.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That was... OB is going to join us as we bury this season.
Had a good run.
Yeah.
Not really.
No. Now... The thing yesterday was a fun game. I don't know if you guys were back in time for it, but
no.
Well, we landed, and I woke up from my nap, and the woman next to me was like, "I know you had mentioned the Bears were playing today. They just announced they lost." I'm like, "Son of a!"
Yeah.
So then I went home and I rewatched it. I recorded it and everything. So.
They gave us two updates on the flight. In the beginning, it was not pretty. I think 21-3 or something.
Yep.
That was the case at one point. Everyone. Oh, just like a mess. And then the guy was actually like, and any Packers fan on the plane can just get off now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain of the flight deck. Just want to let you know that Chicago Bears are losing 21-3, so that's a bad situation. What's worse is the left engine's on fire. We know you have a lot of choices when you fly. I'd like to thank you for flying with us today. Have a good flight.
Everyone's depressed and kind of like hungover, and we're going
brutal.
Back to the cold, and then capped all off with, oh, by the way, the Bears lost. The season's over.
Yeah. It was, the end, though, was fun.
It was wild. Yeah.
They made the fourth quarter really interesting, and Mitch Trubisky actually played pretty well.
He did.
Receivers played great. For some reason, the Green Bay's defense is better than we thought it was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it just turned out to be, you know, one of those things. They were not destined to be the team this year.
No.
They just are not. So.
And tip of the cap to Akeem Hicks, by the way, who was just battling the entire game through that injury. He's only been here for a few years, but he's already one of my favorite Bears players I've watched. I mean, just like, you could tell he was in severe pain. And like early on, I think it was the first series for the Packers, he landed on his left arm, and he wasn't even moving it, and he still plays the whole game. So, I don't know. That's something, I guess. We can appreciate Akeem Hicks continuing to fight this season.
Well, now it's just spoiler time.
Yeah.
The Chiefs.
That's true.
I think we might as well treat that like a preseason game. But then the Minnesota game would be kind of fun up in Minnesota.
There could be some playoff implications in that one.
So we'll just have to watch. I have to have teams that I want to follow now.
Yeah.
Really like this Baltimore team. But, I'm a Chiefs guy. I'm a Mahomes guy. Mm. It was this close.
I love their snowball fight yesterday. It was cracking me up.
Yeah.
It makes you kind of feel like they're lovable.
Yeah, they are, actually. I mean, you know, after they get rid of the bad guy. But this is what you got to do in football, I guess, now. But it's going to be something. I think it's going to be the playoffs are going to be fun. There's a lot of dynamic.
There's a lot of good teams. You could pick a handful of teams that have a real legit shot at winning the whole thing. So at least we'll have some fun to watch, but no Bears.
Speaking of sports, I got Blackhawks tickets for you. I've got this whole theory about what the Blackhawks are doing here. They're playing possum. You know, They're just kind of laying back.
Yep.
They're letting the rest of the league win a bunch of games. Now, they did win last night, so we have that going.
They're hustling us.
Patrick Kane with a hat trick.
Right, exactly. They're hustling us. They're like, I'm not very good. Yeah. That's, you know, let's double or nothing.
Yeah.
Bait everybody into it. Classic maneuver.
So I'll give you a chance to win your money back. This is not the best situation, but there is a turnaround ahead of us, and I think it's going to happen for sure Monday night against the New Jersey Devils, because that team really does suck, and they're going to be here in Chicago at the United Center Monday night. Did I say Monday night?
Did say Monday night.
Okay, regular start there, and so I got a pair of tickets thanks to our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and tune in every Monday all season long for your chance to win tickets to the Blackhawks. All right, Loris Duarte is going to come up and join us here in just a second. Also, Mike Jansen's going to tell us about the White Christmas possibilities, because we're in White Christmas window now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very close. I can't believe it's next week already.
Yeah.
I had a speed shop today.
I know. I've done very little. I'm sort of, yeah, ooh.
Hope you're willing to go to a store. Whoa! Crazy
I'm not,
thought,
actually.
Right?
No. Uh-oh. No, I got people for that. Ryan Burrow will be here talking about the holiday season in terms of, also coming up this hour, in terms of when you have to get what you have to get, where you have to get it. So if you want to mail something, when's the last time you can mail or FedEx or do any of those things? Amazon, when's the last time you can order from Amazon? Because, you know, Amazon, sometimes they'll trick you. And they'll say, oh, yeah, no, it'll be here by the 24th. Don't you worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it doesn't show up like that. All right, we'll find out all about that this hour, but first, let's check on the traffic and the weather. Here's Lauren.
And for News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Lourdes Duarte is joining us right now for the WGN TV Newsroom.
Hey, guys, how are you?
I couldn't be better.
I'm totally ready for you. Totally. I knew you were coming to me. How are you?
Good, because I can tell she's reaching around. If you're watching this on CLTV, she's like turned around. She's trying to tie her shoes. I don't know. It's weird. Very, very weird. Sorry about that. No, that's all right. The kids are just back from Mexico, where they were down with the White Sox mm-hmm. for a week off, and they're telling me stories during the break, and my hair is curling.
Yeah, it's Mexico. Everybody comes back with stories.
There's some things happening here.
Yeah. I can't see you today. This camera isn't, the TV, I guess, wasn't set up either. The people back in the control room weren't ready for us either. But I can tell you what I'm working on today.
Okay, why don't we do that? Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. You know, every year we put together this whole big story on the top stories of the year, right? So we have folks at home vote for their top five, top ten. And so we've put together our list this year. Do you want to hear some of the ones that are on there and I get your thoughts on what you think should be the top story of the year?
Okay.
What do you think?
All right.
Want to do it? Okay.
Yep. All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right. We should actually do this as true or false. News or ruse. But go ahead. All right.
They're getting ready. I see they're getting the camera there going. Okay, we'll be ready in a few minutes. Chance of Snapper. Where should that rank?
Is this, you said top 10?
Top 10, yeah.
Top 10.
So,
how many do we have? 20 on this list? Or do we
have about 20 on the list. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a top 10 story without question. So I'd put it probably around 5.
Ooh, okay, 5 from Rome.
That's what?
Okay,
I say 3.
Alderman mm-hmm. Ed Burke.
Oh, I'd say that's 2.
On, that's number 2, on your book. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chicago teacher strike.
3.
3. All right.
Does it win? I mean, we knew it was going to happen, and it kind of happened, and it went, whatever.
But it affected so many people.
It did.
So many people that I think it makes definitely the top of the list.
But the school's open back up, so, mm-hmm. you know, let me know. Alderman Burke, I'm not quite sure he's going to open back up. But go ahead.
Jussie Smollett.
Oh, that's got to be like
that's one.
I would like it as one, but I know it's not one. Can I move everything down and make that 2? Drop everything down 1. Ordinal.
Okay, you would make that 2, mm-hmm. and then where would you put Burke?
3.
Would he be 3?
Then he'd be 3, yeah.
Okay.
People are following. Now, if you're following this at home, if you're keeping notes at home, I want everybody just to give a second just to continue to make the numerical adjustments. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we got it. R. Kelly being charged.
Oh, you know,
that just threw another wrench in your whole life.
Yeah, I'm going to go, it's like 6 or 7.
6 or 7?
Yeah.
Okay. AJ Friend, remember the story of the little boy in Crystal
Terrible,
Lake?
Terrible, awful story.
I know.
You know, but you hate to drop that lower because it's so tragic. you know, you, the popular thing to say is it's, you know, it'd be like the most important because it's a loss of life and all of that, and a horrifying story. But I draw it would be in the top 10. I would just play it a little later.
I would definitely put it in the top 10 because if you look at that story and then you look at some of the other stories that surrounded it because of it, you know, DCFS and
right.
everything that happened with that and people starting to look at that organization and how it's being run.
Okay, top 5 now.
I would definitely put it in the top 5, yeah. Joe Maddon and the Cubs.
I'm going to put that a little later. I'm not even sure that's a top 10 story.
You don't think so?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, we kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, okay. that doesn't fit top 10 material for me.
Okay, and that we'll was last year, like 15.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay,
sure.
The ComEd lobbying scandal.
So disinterested in that.
So
I know it's big,
okay.
But that's not a top 10 story.
But it does impact Springfield, Madigan, all that stuff.
Call me when I impacts actually my electricity.
Yeah.
Okay. So I gave you about, you know, 7 or 8. I don't want to give away the whole thing.
Well, the mayor,
Lori
Lightfoot's election. That's got to be number 1.
Okay. I'll tell you what is leading right now. Just to get you thinking as people vote, Chance the Snapper is leading with 12% of the vote as the number one story of the year.
Right.
Alligator Rob, one of Chicago's great heroes.
Yeah.
Saving us from that monster in the lagoon.
Right, from that
2-foot monster.
barely
penetrate the skin. But he saved us.
3 feet if you add actually a foot to either side of the alligator, just assuming he might grow.
Build a statue for Alligator Rob in my book at the lagoon.
Yeah.
Actually, Ben told me the other day he has a publicist.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Is right?
He's got like a children's book. He was in studio, I don't know, a few weeks ago with us.
He's got the publicist to the stars here, who represents a bunch of a bunch of people.
Man.
Yeah, I know. It's something. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be going out and hiring a publicist. It would be more like the publicist found him and said, hey, I'll get you money for showing up at appearances if that's okay, and I'll take part of it. And he's such a nice guy that I think it kind of worked that way.
Hey, he needs to move here to Chicago. He's still in South Florida, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think so. He doesn't. Oh, he was just up here. He comes up here every time he's in town. We have befriended the Alligator Man. We were at the black tie, actually the green tie
event. Yeah.
And he was there, and he was like, can we just go out and get a drink somewhere? You know, it's just like, you know, dressing up and being at like, you know, some fancy to do was not his style. So when he comes in here, he does things that, you know, a guy wants to do. And he was up here a couple weeks ago and it was pretty cold. Beginning of December, late November. He doesn't have like winter gear. People from Florida do not.
But he's got that beard, though.
That's true. Neck warmer.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps it's all over his body, too. I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Is he still dating the girl from Chicago? Because that's a good reason to move.
Yeah, he found love while he was fighting off the alligator.
You know, it's funny because they were at that event, and they were very reticent to talk about it. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's their personal thing.
That's right.
I wish him the best. I think Chance the Snapper because it's the funniest story of the year. But the most significant event in Chicago of 2019 was not just Lori Lightfoot winning the way by which she won, you know, with 3 out of every 4 votes cast for her. I don't think Daly even got those. Richard J. Daly in the day
got those numbers.
Wasn't winning by 74-26. You know, it was, you know, because they always put up a patsy that they needed to give at least, you know, 32 points to just for the hell of it.
I would agree with you. The mayor, I would say the Alderman Ed Burke thing, I think, is huge. I would put the Chicago teacher strike in there as a top 5 just because it impacted and affected so many people. And then I would do DCFS and, unfortunately, the AJ Friend case.
All right.
So
I can't argue with you or your news judgment, Lourdes.
That's why I love you.
Yeah, well, I think that's not why you love me, but I think I just have learned this over these years with Lourdes. It's not worth really disagreeing with her for very long.
Ooh.
You just kind of just go, okay, you are 100%
exactly
right, and you are, and I can't really disagree with any
of that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so people can vote at WGNTV.com/2019. They've got all week to do it, and then we will air the story on New Year's Eve.
And it will be the number one story that you air? Is that how that goes?
We'll air the whole thing, the top 10, the ones that got the most votes. It's a way to get people to engage and interact with us and tell us what they think about some of the stories we cover.
That's a great idea.
All right.
Unless there's internet fakery poll, you know, like some guy puts himself in as the story, and the next thing you know, you got to cover some hacker's story about being a hacker.
Now I got to worry about hackers, too.
We got a story about hackers coming up.
The top story in Chicago is about Russia? How did this happen?
The Ring doorbell, right, company?
The Ring, yeah.
The Ring,
yeah.
And now the Ring has all this stuff, mm-hmm. like your baby monitors and cams inside your home. Well, they're getting hacked. And also on those two-way monitors that people can talk, you know, and where, like, you look, you see this one with Kermit is constantly talking to other Muppets on the, you know, like the two-way monitor. I don't like the idea
portal.
Of this, into the portal kind of idea. People are hacking into that and, like, trying to talk to your kids.
God, it's so creepy.
I know.
Ooh.
Do you have a baby monitor?
I don't. I just, you know what? We're close by. I can hear her. I do not use one at this point.
Yeah. And the first time
soon,
mom, you're probably just standing there all night watching, making sure.
Checking.
You're still breathing,
breathing,
right?
Yeah.
Still breathing.
I have done that.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's the way it goes. There's no question about it. All right, Lourdes, thank you very much. We'll see you at the news at 4 o'clock on WGN TV.
Sounds good, and I'm covering for Micah tonight, so I'll be there 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. Just, you know, watch the whole time. Thank you.
I always do. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, that's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. That is a creepy story about the hacks.
Yeah, I recently saw that video.
And people are basically getting, like, ransom threats. Like,
really?
Hacking into people's homes and stuff. And
right.
Like people, like, demanding a ransom to the people.
Right, because they can see everything that's going on.
Right.
And then the kids. And
freaks
then
me out.
The thing, talking on, you know, whatever it is, there's a couple different competing products, like Portal, that do this. And the idea that there's a little screen in your house that's watching you, and then all of a sudden my mom could pop up on it, I don't like the idea of that. That's why I left the house as soon as I possibly could.
Well, and the ones in the bedroom, if you have a child in there, then it becomes a whole other thing with changing clothes and things
weird.
Like that.
Right.
It has provided some great viral videos of people drunkenly walking up to their door and falling over and then revisiting the next morning. I will say that those are
The Ring, the outdoor Ring.
The outdoor Ring. Yeah. People trying to get in their homes. They can't get the key in. They fall down. So outside of that, though, getting a little creepy.
Yeah. And I would like not to take a look at my videos of me trying to get
late night
into the house. I could take, like, a little steep, like, staircase.
You got a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
Tough
then,
house to navigate.
And then the next thing you know, you're like, I'm just sticking my head in. Is anybody in here? Hey! Hello! I live alone, and I'm still screaming that. Hello! Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that. Also, you know, there was a story about parents now, because they don't trust their teenage kids, putting cameras in their teenage kids' rooms.
Oh, God. That's just opening up a door you don't want to open.
Imagine what you're going to see going on there. I don't want to even think about that, but that's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay right here. We got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, too. It's the Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. All right. A lot of people are concerned. I am one who is concerned for the wrong reasons, but concerned about a white Christmas. I'm concerned about the sociological implications of it is what I'm most worried about. But right now, we've got Mike Jansen from WGN TV Weather. And Mike, I need to know is, and again, be careful how you answer this question.
All right.
Will there be a white Christmas?
You want just the straight?
I want a straight answer.
If I was saying right now, no.
Aha! That's the answer I'm looking for. These people who want a white Christmas are people who do not have nice carpet in their homes.
And we didn't have a white Christmas last year.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
When was the last time we had a white Christmas? A few years ago?
I'd have to go back and look. I will tell you this, though. I made the comment to Steve Kahn here in the weather office. He said, you know, if we're not going to have a white Christmas, why don't we just make it 60 and sunny?
Yeah.
Let's just
go
ahead and go nuts with it.
Yeah.
Just make it beautiful.
There have been, in my recollection of... you know, a number of years here in Chicago, my whole life, but I don't want to say how many now anymore. It is maybe 4 or 5 that were like above 50, and I think there was one that was like 70-ish, 68, 70.
We've had some warm ones, but we've also had some that, like Christmas Eve, nobody could go anywhere.
Right.
You know, see, that's the thing,
it was
the travel.
Just an absolute mess. And that's the thing is, Christmas Day is certainly, I mean, people have no problem, I think, just staying home on Christmas Day. It's the Christmas Eve, especially if you get something that starts getting cranked up in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And you have people that are traveling to family members or friends' houses, or they're trying to go to a midnight mass or something like that. And next thing you know, you got 6-8 inches of snow on the ground, the wind's blowing. That's when things, I think, get a little bit dicier.
That polar vortex. Winter of 2013 to 2014.
That would be very alarming.
That would have been, yes. That Christmas Eve, I remember coming out of church. I know, it's hard to believe that would have actually happened. And at midnight, after a midnight mass, and walking down the street, and it was like a snow globe.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, beautiful, bucolic, iconic night sort of visions. Except it was so freaking cold. Yeah. You had to run, and you had to. It just. I wanted it to be just like, It's a Wonderful Life.
And that's so wonderful,
like,
is it?
Right, and I'm like, George Bailey, you must have been really, really cold, especially when you were wet.
I know there was one when I was much younger, coming out of a late candlelight service, and part of the job was to go and pick up the luminaries that were all around the church, and there were dozens of them, and it was windy, and it was snowing, and I bet we picked up probably 1.5-2 inches of snow, of the real fluffy snow. So when the winds picked up, then you're out there trying to pick up these bags with candles in them, and everything just wants to blow all over you, and so it was just an absolute mess. And then there's been other times when you do get that real pretty snow, but it doesn't seem like we get that as much as we want it to be.
No, I like, you know, it's pretty snow. Let me explain exactly, Mike, what pretty snow is. It falls on the ground, melts instantly, and dries. To me, that is a pretty snow. So if it's like it's in the air, and maybe even if it's made out of some sort of oil byproduct, I don't care. I just don't want it to be turning on the ground to ice and sleet, and then within an hour, that gray, black, yeah, awful kind of snow. I'm actually sort of gratified that we don't have a December. This is one of my concerns when we're coming out of November, because it was so snowy, that we would have a snowy December. We have not.
I
luckily.
Really think, I made the comment at noon today, at the end of the show, that I would not be surprised if our December ends up with less snow than what we saw, not only in November, but what we saw in October. Now, we are actually about 2.5 inches, a little bit more than that, above average snowfall-wise for the year. Now, that goes back from when we started in October. Remember Halloween? Well, we had a white Halloween. We just may not have a white Christmas. And that's the thing, is we were so much above average snowfall-wise in October and November, we are actually less snowfall when it comes to average here in December.
So nothing between now and then? Nothing that will be sticking on the ground? Because it's going to be cold.
No, I don't. 7-day outlooks, no precipitation in there, maybe a passing snow shower one night this week.
Why is it so cloudy? What's going on here?
It's just what it is. Hey, here's the thing. We have the clouds, but go for a drive not that far to the south, and they're getting the snow and the ice and everything else. And in fact, you don't have to go too far south of I-80. Get down by Kankakee.
Oh, I get scared down there.
They had 2.5 inches of snow there.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And then you get to Will County, it's about an inch, and then you get into the city, and it's just gray, gloomy, but we don't have the snow on the ground. So, and that's the thing is, too, I think there's that trade-off. It's going to be gray and gloomy. Give us something to look at. Right now, I mean, we're using that tower camera shot, and when you look at the buildings and everything, and it's just gray. It's different shades of gray.
There's 50 of them, I've been told.
There's a whole lot of them, but then there's also those times, remember the polar vortex last year's, you had bright sunshine.
Yes,
high
like
pressure.
That. Yes.
Yeah, but it was also 25 degrees below zero.
Okay.
So there's your trade-off.
I work in a building. I think they got heat here. I'm okay. As long as when I look outside, it doesn't look like the end of it. It looks post-apocalyptic when you look out there.
How
like, there's no sun. It's like I have not seen sunlight.
How about tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday? We're going to bring back plenty of sunshine
all
those
right.
3 days. And while we're expecting chillier temperatures, colder air here on Wednesday, by the time we get to Thursday, we could be back flirting with 40 again. And there's
hey,
an outside
doing,
chance we get into a little, you know, Sunday, Monday time period. Can't, if everything comes together for us, we could be close to 50 degrees.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I'm glad you
with
like
sun?
It. That takes, but if you're thinking about being close to 50 on Monday, something would have to drastically change if you think about that white Christmas, which we already kind of, you know, told people that probably wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. All right. I don't know. You know, these meteorologists sometimes speak in code. I don't understand all the things that go on. Mike, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Mike Jansen from WGN-TV Weather. Appreciate
Bye.
It.
All right. The less snow, the better in my book.
Yeah. Not a big fan.
If it's going to be cold, I think it should snow. But hey, 50s, I'm good with for the rest of the month.
I don't care if it's 20 degrees outside. If there's no wind and there's sun, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. That's the
Chicago. There's a lot of sun in Mexico, Ron, if you heard.
Shut up. All right. Lauren's got the traffic and the weather. All right. Coming up on the program, Ryan Burrow. Oh, actually, right here. I think I've got Ryan Burrow. I'm looking ahead. I'm like, hey, what is it? Oh, it's here. All right. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Present.
All right. Thank you. Speaking of holiday shopping, we were just doing the commercial about that. Here's a question that I think a lot of people are asking today, which is, how late is it before it's too late to actually send something through the mail or through UPS or through any of those kinds of services? And what happens if I want to get something off the Amazon and have it delivered? What is actually going to occur? And you have some of the answers to that, if not all of them.
This is the procrastinator's time to shine, right? What is the absolute last minute where I can order something? It varies depending on how you're sending something. I can tell you there were already a couple deadlines that passed. Don't panic. U.S. Postal Service retail ground shipments ended this weekend. FedEx Smart Post ended this weekend. UPS last day to ship some.
Oh my God, you're telling us that the door is closed. What are you doing?
No. Here's the thing. U.S. Postal Service will continue to accept first-class mail all the way through Friday. So if you've still got to get those Christmas cards out, if you've still got to get packages out, if you've got bills to pay, you can still drop those in the mail before Friday and get them in time for Christmas. FedEx, though, today's the last day for ground and home delivery. And in fact, Amazon is now blocking sellers from using FedEx ground for prime shipments because they don't know that it will get there in time. So that's a concern. And then UPS, you're at a point now where you got to start going UPS 3-day select, second day air, and next day air.
I've done absolutely zero Christmas shopping. I'm in trouble here.
You're going to have to just go to the store, and that's what I'm going to have to do, too. I think I'm going to have to go.
Well, I've got some good news.
Is Christmas Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday?
Of next week?
Yeah.
It's going to be Wednesday.
Okay, yeah. Good.
We got time.
Well, but here's the deal. If you're one of these Prime members, you shell out the extra bucks. The last day to order eligible items for standard shipping, and this would be free for Prime members, is the 18th. Actually, you can take it all the way up to the 22nd. And on Christmas Eve, if you're really, really a slacker, you can wait all the way till Christmas Eve and do the same day delivery. Ooh. But, I mean, at that point, what are we talking about? We're talking about something that, is delivered from your neighborhood, essentially.
But you also have to be careful because some of those things that you would normally expect the next day or 2 days away are not in stock because of how many people are shopping.
Yes.
Today I went on there because I was having this last-minute shopping panic moment, and I'm glad I saw that right before I went to check out. It says may arrive between the 23rd or the 26th. I'm like, well, I can't really chance that, can I?
Too risky.
Yeah, so even if you are Prime, you just got to be aware that they may not be the normal days.
And the ultimate X factor is what you guys were just talking about, the weather, too, right? I mean, it's not even a storm here, but it could be a storm in Dallas or New York or what have you that could just really clog things up. So that's always a concern as well.
So that 24th to the 25th thing, so if you order on the 24th and you said it has to come from the neighborhood, does that mean that somebody's just packing something up in their house and then taking it across the street?
That means you're gonna get the pizza delivery guy is also going to be delivering Amazon kind of on the side. Yeah,
yeah.
It's there are actually millions of eligible items for same day delivery. A lot of these though, and free 2-hour grocery delivery. So a lot of these might be, oh geez, I need another bottle of wine. Can I order one up through Amazon Prime and have it at my doorstep before the party starts?
Okay.
What are the hot gifts? Like for my parents' age. Like what do we see in this?
You want us to do this job for you?
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, I do.
They just want your love, Kevin. They just want your love.
Okay. A homemade gift from the heart.
That would be a disaster.
Yeah, you make something. We'll get you some construction paper.
Okay.
I'll get you some glue.
In the office.
Mom, Dad, in this world of material possessions, I made you this.
Yes.
A noodle statue.
I did. Yeah, noodle. We'll get you some dry noodles. That's Ryan. Very good suggestion.
Green construction paper. I'll glue some goodies onto that.
I would like to ask a question about first-class mail since you brought it up.
Okay.
What could possibly be lower than first class mail? Because sometimes my first class mail shows up and it looks like it has a poo stain on it.
Okay.
I can't figure out what happened.
Well, don't they do those the mail that comes in, like when businesses send you mail, those flyers? I think
sometimes
that might
those
be,
are better.
A different class. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like business pre-sort or whatever they call that. Yeah.
I love the idea, and maybe we'll have to do this on Friday, of standing next to one of those machines, you know, that sells the Christmas stamps on that Friday when everyone's desperately trying to get all their last Christmas cards in the mail. And, of course, the machine always breaks down. That's a fun time to talk to people right there.
Classic technical difficulty in the middle of holiday season.
Yeah.
I've got stamps that are like the ugliest things I have ever seen. And they're like real flowery, and it was like the
you expect it to smell like the perfume section in a
yes.
department store.
And I don't even know why I got, you know, you just go to you go to the store and you go, I just need a book of stamps. And I was like, I was at them, so I got a couple books of stamps. And if you go like to Office Depot, they'll give you the stamp flag ones. Flag.
Well,
you know?
I used to work at Office Depot, and they always said, like, no matter what the person was buying, you always, like, because they'll give you a rundown of like 30 things to say now when you go to retail mm-hmm. shops, and you always had to offer stamps to people. Sometimes somebody would come in real quick, just buy a bottle of water, and I'm like, how was your shopping experience today? Did you find everything you needed? Do you need forever stamps? He's like, dude, I'm just here for the water.
How do you guys all do the Christmas cards? Because the wife and I are debating whether we're going to do it this year.
Well, it's a little late now, isn't it?
No, I've got till Friday. We could pull it all together.
Millennials are big on the Christmas cards. I came home from the trip with like an entire door full of Christmas cards from people.
I've gotten one from my Allstate agent.
That Aaron Rodgers.
That's basically been it. I have not. I either I've run out of friends, or
some people just stop doing it.
Yeah, because I don't send them back. Right, yeah. I don't do them. Right,
so we always limit ourselves. We always say we're going to just do close family, and then you start getting them from, you know, your kids, friends, parents, and it's like, okay, I guess I'll send you one too.
Me lying around in my underwear on a couch with a bottle of bourbon in my hand, watching TV, scratching myself. That would be the picture. Hey, from the Rokan family, happy holidays. I chose not to do that this year.
I don't even know how that started. Why did people start sending pictures of themselves and their families for Christmas cards?
I feel like we used to get more letters, like, which kind of makes sense because people would be like, here's what happened this year. Little mm-hmm. Tommy broke his arm, but he's doing just fine now.
Now you have Facebook for that.
Exactly.
Right? You don't need that anymore.
And they put the video together for you. You just share it with them. Yeah. You're like, that's so easy.
I don't care about little Tommy. You know, we would get this. When I was a kid, our family would get this from like some guy in Europe that my dad knew when he was stationed there. And it would be like, and little Hans and Schefter
just graduated the fourth grade.
Yes, exactly. They're doing this. They've decided not to join the Hitler Youth. And, you know, it's like, and you're like, oh my God, why do I care? And my dad would read it to me. Oh my God, Hans and Schefter. I remember when they were born.
Hans and Schefter.
Oh my God. Like, I don't really care. I don't care. All right. Well. So what you're basically telling us is there's hope for all of us, depending on how much we're willing to pay. Is that right, Ryan?
Yes. The deeper we get, the closer we get to Christmas, the more you're going to have to shell out. So be prepared.
If I can't get free Amazon Prime, I'm not ordering anything. That's it for me. I'm not paying for shipping. They can wait till after
Mom,
Christmas.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I did make this paper mache bunny rabbit for you, though. I was going to save it for Easter, but I already have it done.
I'll wrap up a piece of paper that says what you're getting. You just got to wait.
I got sand for my shoe in Mexico. This is Mexican beach sand. I got it right here for you. Put it in an envelope.
Starting to look that way.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. The hackers have gotten in to your to the cameras in your house.
This is terrifying. Mm-hmm. I've seen more and more stories of these Ring and camera and security. Scary.
We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about the Blackhawks, because I got Blackhawks tickets for you, too, to give away in the 4 o'clock hour. A pair of tickets to go see them a week from tonight, taking on the New Jersey Devils, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody happy with that?
Very happy.
Okay.
Excited.
They're about to make the turnaround here. I don't think they're going to lose a game from this point forward, but that's the only way they make the playoffs. That's the other thing I would like to say. We got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, too. Radio Chicago, WGN. It's a Rokan show right here, 720 WGN. All right, there is a story today about Ring cameras that have been hijacked, essentially, by hackers. And this has become a national problem. There's even a podcast devoted to hacking both Ring and Nest devices.
Like how to do it?
Yeah, like for entertainment value, where, they, where they've been hacked and they've got the audio and stuff like that.
How lame does your life have to be to get together and figure out a plan how to hack people's in-home cameras?
I think it's worse when you actually have to do a podcast about it. Right. Which reminds me that the Best Movies of the Decade podcast is available right now, where all fine podcasts are sold. If you'd like to listen to the first five episodes of a six-episode series starring Richard Roper and myself.
Much better content there.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So I called. The issue here is how simple this is and how widespread it is. In a particularly disturbing event, a family in Mississippi heard a hacker playing Tiny Tim's Tiptoe Through the Tulips to their 8-year-old daughter in her bedroom.
Oh, God.
When the little girl asked who was there, the hacker replied, "I'm your best friend. I'm Santa Claus. Don't you want to be my best friend?" Mm. Wow.
That is terrifying. And like the camera and just watching her kind of react to it, it is terrifying. It's something you would see in a poorly made scary movie, actually.
Here's the here's the Mississippi one we're just talking about.
What is that?
I'm your best friend. I'm Santa Claus.
Mommy!
I'm Santa Claus. Don't you want to be my best friend?
Oh, my
that
God.
That is...
I just got chills when she said mommy, too. Oh, God, it's awful.
You think people just heard that and are walking around their homes right now, smashing every single in-home camera device or whatever you have?
Cover up the cameras.
Listen to this one. This is a guy hacking into an interracial couple. And listen to the reaction.
What's going on, my main man, Shaq? It's your boy, Chance on Knowles. Welcome to the Knowlescast.
Wait, so did your child come out black or like kind of like light-skinned? I don't know.
What?
Nothing. Can you bring, like, a web browser up on your phone and then type in the website that I tell you?
No.
Why? I'll leave you and your family alone. Or I could do this. I like your dog.
He set off the alarm.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
I like the guy's reaction there, too. When he goes after the baby. Right? I mean, it's just... There's one more of this, right? Is that it?
Okay. We really don't have any privacy anymore.
Well, I know, and that's the thing. Like, if that happened to you, you just would never feel the same in your home.
No, you wouldn't feel safe.
Here's the hacking of a Christmas tree.
We're looking at the Christmas tree, and they start talking again.
That tree is looking really, really good, guys. No, put me down. Put me down. I have feelings. Hello?
Bye.
We're having some communication issues.
You know, it sounds like the same guy.
Wait, yeah, it does. But who has a talking Christmas tree or a speaker in their Christmas tree?
I think
tree?
There was the camera on the Christmas tree, and the guy was moving the Christmas tree, and the guy was talking as the Christmas tree.
Oh. Okay, I was very confused.
All right, and then try this one on for size.
Taking pictures of the baby. I'm asleep. Shut the back down.
So while they're taking pictures of their child,
oh my God,
the guy jumps in.
It really does sound like the same guy. Is he the one also doing the podcast? I'm curious.
It sounds like all the guys on the Breitbart podcast is what it sounds like to me.
Sounds like somebody that has a YouTube channel where he is playing video games and just comments for everybody to watch him play video games.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly like that. All right. But it sounds like older white teenagers.
Right.
Yes.
You know,
like,
exactly.
Like young 20s.
Yeah. So somewhere between like 16 and 20.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Probably a little lonely.
Yeah. You'd think so. All right. Listen to this. Is out of Connecticut.
I can't hear you. Who are you calling? Can you come here? I can't hear you. Are you calling 911? Come here.
Wow. Now, this one, let's go to the Staten Island one, because this one, completely creepy.
Hello? I see you.
What?
I see you. How you doing? How's your day?
I'm good.
What's your name?
Lamar.
What up, Lamar? Do you play any games? Like video games?
Yeah, I play some video games.
Do you play Minecraft?
Hey, here you.
Wow.
I knew he played
and
video games.
And he's trying to disconnect. He's running around trying to disconnect the cameras. And then...
What's up, homie? I still see you.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay. We're going to talk about this on the other side. How, not only how you can protect yourself, which is basically disable everything, but, and there's actually a very simple fix to this. We'll tell you what that is. And then some of your stories, too, because I don't know. I think there's just too many of these things. It looks like a great idea when the guy's selling it to you on TV, but now we see the other side. Lauren Lapka's got the traffic and the weather.
And for news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Roan, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
All right, so there are a bunch of Ring and Nest cameras have been hacked, and the audio is all over, audio and video is all over the internet as it's getting dropped out there. We played a bunch of it just a few minutes ago. To me, it sounds like the same person.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Very similar types, at least.
Yeah.
Sounds like younger, bored, lonely, trying to get some pranks in, being dummies. And it's very, very creepy to think about.
Well, like we were just talking about in between the break, what's really scary is if sharing the information of how to do this really is out there, there are a lot of bad people out there that can use this for, I don't even want to say what kind of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can monitor when people are leaving and coming back from work.
Right, how or if they're on vacation.
Or if they're on vacation, how often is the home empty? How often are there people inside the home?
Pedophiles watching young children.
Well, that's the other thing to me I wanted to ask this question about for people who've got these cameras. Because last week there was a story about parents deciding they want to watch their teenage kids in their rooms. It's one thing to watch a baby. Right, I mean, right. You're doing that more for you than you are for them,
well,
right?
To know if they're crying, so you don't have to be so close. Because if you live on multiple floors, you might not hear it.
But if you're a parent watching a teenage kid, you're doing it for you, not for the
kid.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's like a totally different.
It's not about their safety necessarily. I mean, if there's some sort of exigent risk to the child, right? Okay, that might make sense. But that would be a very rare circumstance. The idea of just doing this, is, you know, so to make sure that they're behaving. Is to me, that is absolutely creepy as hell.
Yes,
because God knows, right? I mean, it's just and if you don't have any kind of privacy as a teenager, you're going to go totally insane,
right?
Oh yeah,
it's like runaway central. So your thoughts on that? 312-981-7200. But before we get to that, there is a solution here. Ring has offered advice to its customers as a precaution. They are recommending, all Ring users to enable two-factor authentication on their Ring account. So you can go to your account and you can up the how you get in.
Right.
So
right.
It's not just
someone wanting to come in. You have to invite and allow them to come in.
Also, you may have to get a pass to get it. Not just so when you're on your phone, you may ask, like your bank does this. You're on your phone and you say, all right, I want to see my Ring cameras. Mm-hmm. It's going to ask you, it's going to then send a text message to your phone with a code on it.
And more, not even just like your smart devices, but just websites as a whole to enhance security are going to that. The two-step authentication where you get a code. It's not just something easy. You can guess a password.
Right. Because they know what your phone is. Unless your phone has been spoofed. We did that last week, too.
Yeah.
So there's, I mean, if someone's really out to get you, they're going to go out and get you.
Right.
Which is really the problem. I mean, it's beyond weird. And one wonders what the actual perpetrators of this, now if it is, and let's play one more, let's play the one again of the couple in, the first couple there.
What's going on, my main man, Shaq? It's your boy, Chance on Nold. Welcome to the Noldcast.
Wait, so did your child come out black or, like, kind of, like, light-skinned? I don't know.
What?
Nothing. Can you bring, like, a web browser up on your phone and then type in the website that I tell you?
No.
Why? I'll leave you and your family alone. Or I could do this. I like your dog.
Wouldn't you want to watch that kid get perp walked out of his house?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do. Sounds like a little punk.
Well, and the troubling thing also, if he really is enacting their alarm, you could be inviting a police response.
Yes.
And then what do? You are you going to have to pay for that? Or
well, I think you tell them out? That, and then it starts an investigation. But then again, maybe local police may not be able to do the investigation because it might, you know, this kid could be anywhere in the country.
Right.
So the next thing you know, you got to get the feds involved. It's all that. I mean, Ring and Nest and all the rest of them have to be very careful. My daughter and her husband have their entire house cameraed up.
That's how, yeah.
And it's so many, there's like a whole millennial thing to
smart everything.
Everything has to have the dog. There's a camera that like follows the dog around.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
It's just dedicated to the dog?
Yeah, well, there's one that watches the dog in his like little area and then makes sure that the dog isn't, you know, doing something it shouldn't be doing, like eating the floor, which it might be doing. And then there's, how about this? They have a feeder that actually dispenses food off of an app.
That's cool.
So if they're not home and it's time to feed the dog, They do something on their app, and then all of a sudden the thing makes it actually makes the sound like a slot machine paying off to create the Pavlov response. So we're never going to be able to take the dog to a casino, I think, is the problem.
Well, they also have the ones that have an ability to throw a ball or some kind of toy, so you could play fetch with your dog from a machine through a camera.
This is going to get worse before it gets better.
Right. I think we're ceding too much to the technology.
Oh, yeah. You know, tennis balls are being launched across your house.
Oh, yeah. And you can talk to it and be like, you're such a good dog. And then the dog's looking at this box like, you don't look like my mom.
What is an appropriate age to stop, like, watching your kids on the camera? That's really the question.
Well, you know, looking into a teenager's room, I mean, we've all been teenagers. It's just a weird time in your life. I don't want to look in any teenager's room.
Right. Right. You don't know what's... They're expressing themselves in a lot of unique ways.
You're trying to figure yourself out, too, in a certain sort of ways as well. I mean, I would not want to ever look inside a camera into a teenager's room.
No.
You'll be scarred for life.
Yes.
I mean, read their journal like everybody else.
Yes, find out where the hidden journal is. And you can... You can snoop that way, but cameras? Nah, that's good.
No. And I know that, and I know the parenting is tough. I've been through it. And, you know, kids in, you know, at a certain age, they just go in a different direction. They decide, it's like when you go into your boss's office and they say, we're going in a different direction. that's what
we're restructuring this entire relationship.
Yes. So they do. They go through a 2 to 3 year restructuring in their teenage years.
So what
and
age?
Then you're immediately, I would imagine, this technology wasn't available 10 years ago when that was going on. But, you know, when you get into a situation where, when a kid's in their, 12, 13, 14, depending on girls and boys, it's a different.
So when did you kind of.
Definitely not for boys. Let's not do that.
When did you kind of loosen up a little bit on, like, I don't know, monitoring their every move or being a
strict
parent?
I'll tell you, the only thing I was able to do that worked out was I gave her, when she started driving, I gave her a credit card for gas, and then I could monitor her movements based on the credit. I put alerts on the credit card to find out where it was being used.
That's smart.
See, even the whole idea of giving kids smartwatches for that purpose, that is more acceptable. Because, yes, you're tracking their movements. I still think there's a bit of privacy invasion there. But at least you're not watching their every move. You just know that they're safe because they're where they're supposed to be. Or if, for some reason, something awful happened and they were taken, you would be able to track them. But other than that, I don't really.
Oh, this technology's freaking me out. I'm getting rid of everything. Going home tonight, I'm smashing all my cameras. I'm smashing everything.
Get off the grid.
there's something to be said for that. All of a sudden, the Unabomber, with the exception of sending the bombs, but, you know, living off of the land and in a lean-to somewhere, you know, having a wolf as your best friend, that's almost starting to sound appealing.
Yeah, it kind of is. Really is.
All right. I just don't want, God forbid. And then, you know, it's funny, when I moved into the house I'm living in now, I called Comcast and had them come out and, you know, put the cameras up and all that. And the guy said to me, okay, would you like them here? Like, you know, doors, right? You're just monitoring doors, looking at a door from the inside or looking outside around a door, right? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And a buddy of mine said to me, whatever you do not put it in your bedroom. I don't care how you might want to do it. Do not put the camera in your bedroom.
You can go back and study the film, see what you did right. That's what you tend to...
There's a possibility, I suppose. Yeah. People like to put those things up.
Yeah, review the game tape.
Yeah.
Review the episodes.
What is worse is when you find out somewhere between 3 and 7 in the afternoon that you're not home.
You're not home,
right? And something else is happening.
Right.
Yeah. So that would be bad. Just want to say that would be rather heartbreaking, quite honestly. All right. Anyway, the point is that I think what is it? Bubba the Love Sponge and Hulk Hogan. They learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put the cameras up in the corners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking at the bed. Next thing you know.
Sex tape.
Yeah.
It's worked for the Kardashians. They've built an empire off the sex tape.
Well, they knew that camera was there.
Right.
Because it kept playing to the camera.
They participated.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to move the camera. That's when you know there's really something. Hold on. We're not getting a good angle here.
The lighting's bad.
I'm surprised she didn't complain about that.
Right.
All right. Anyway. Point is, if you have a ring or a nest, you might want to be careful about what's going on there, and use two-factor authentication.
That's the answer.
Yeah. Go into the settings.
Right. Go to settings and ask for that right now, and that will save you the possibility of somebody looking at your house, watching your kids, acting a fool. Again, I think that this one guy is responsible for a lot of this, but it doesn't matter because it's creepy. Mm-hmm. It's coming from, the call's coming from inside the house in this particular case.
Your house is threatening you.
Right.
Your house is supposed to be your safe space. That's the one safe space I'm okay with.
I'm not happy with that. All right. We'll get back to all this. Coming up, Blackhawks tickets. They're taking on the New Jersey Devils on Monday night, a week from tonight, all brought to us by our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Every Monday, all season long, we got a pair of Blackhawks tickets, and we got those coming up right around the corner. We got the news right now coming your way with Kim Gordon from the WGN Newsroom. Rokan Show, right here, 720 WGN. All right, I got Blackhawks tickets for you. I'm going to give them away right now. I promised them right before the break. You sat through, and here you are, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Rips us off for tickets to go see the Hawks take on the Devils on Monday, December 23rd, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And tune in every Monday for your chance to rip us off for Blackhawks tickets from Four Seasons. All right, now, I will say this. That... the Hawks are tricking us right now.
You think this is just a play to kind of lure people in before they pounce on everybody?
Yeah. I think what they're going to do is they're going to go on one of those 26, 27 game point streaks. May not win everything, but they'll at least get a point. They're going to take a point out of every game. Mm. That's the feeling that I'm getting here.
Okay.
Because quite honestly, they have to. I just looked at the standings.
Yeah, they've been a little inconsistent, needless to say.
We will be there on Wednesday, and I should mention.
Can't wait. 6:30 pregame, face-off at 7. It's felt like any time they've made some progress, they take two steps back. Mm-hmm. It's like any time they give you hope that they're turning the corner, they hit a little skid. So I think it's just a matter of consistent play from them, because I think they have all the talent to be a good team, a team that can contend for the playoffs. They just haven't put it all together.
Well, and the injuries, when some really big players are injured, you can tell how important they are to the lineup
Duncan Keith, I mean, he's missed the last 9 games, and you immediately see the difference when he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. Kind of reminds me of the Bears season. Yeah, a lot of talent on the roster, but it's just immediate 500-type season.
Well, last season, as we will recall, really bad 2018 part of the season. And the 2019 season, part of the season, they got hot. It was just too little too late.
Yeah, they almost made it to the playoffs. They were right there.
Yep. And I have a similar feeling. I'm hoping this time they make it over the hump.
Maybe you can give another one of those pep talks to Jeremy Colleton, the head coach, our very good friend.
The one which I explained to him, and he won his first game after this. I said, Coach, I'd like you to sit down, and I'd like you just to listen to these fine words of wisdom that I learned once from my, I know it's baseball, it's different, but from my little league coach when I was 7 years old. The team that has more points on the scoreboard at the end of the game wins the game. You have to score more than the other guys.
That's it. It's a great point.
Yep.
You can't argue against that.
No.
I mean, if you get out in front of the professional athletes, your professional hockey players in the locker room and give a rah-rah speech that includes, if we score more goals, we're going to win the game, I think you're going to fire up the guys.
I tried. I did my best. He was taking the advice for a while. He's decided to go against that advice now.
It's the effort that counts, bro.
Well, they had a big game last night. Mm-hmm. That's part of the turnaround. Let's go with that.
Nice hat trick for Patrick Kane.
Right. And then Wednesday, I anticipate a lot of fun. And we'll have fun regardless.
We always do.
Right. We'll be at the Goose Island bar.
Ro takes us on an adventure after the broadcast, and we go to places we did not know existed.
Nope.
I think people at work at the United Center don't even know that places exist, and we somehow end up there every single game.
Meeting some very interesting people, too.
It's like ultimate people watching slash like meeting very interesting people. Very.
It is a unique... It's a unique group of people that are there for a lot of the games.
Oh, yeah.
But they sort of... It's being a hockey fan is a specific kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right? I think that hockey fans are the most dedicated fans, which is part of the problem, I think, with the NHL. They got to figure this out. They got to make it a little bit more fan-friendly to lure new people in. Football's great at that. Baseball's pretty good at it. Basketball, right? I mean, basketball's pretty simple.
Yeah.
There's a lot of confusion on the ice, and it moves so fast.
I have a great argument for that. One, not a lot of people, especially, I mean, luckily around here, yes, but in the country, there aren't that many people playing hockey as a kid compared to a lot of the other sports. One, because
ice
of
rinks.
Access, but also it's just a really expensive sport
Travel,
to play.
All those sorts of things.
It's also very difficult to learn the game from just watching. You know what I mean? Like finding out the rules, the blue line, what offsides is, what icing is.
It's not the most simple of games like basketball is. Get the ball in the net. It is incredible to see how the NFL, which has had great numbers when it comes to ratings this year after a little bit of a slump. When we were leaving the airport yesterday, we're sitting at the bar just for a minute. The games hadn't even started. They're just replaying old games and like everyone's watching. Everyone's glued to the TV. It's just an obsession that America has.
I would like to counter your argument, Ms. Lapka, because the other side of that is football is incredibly popular, right? But kids play football. It's also a fairly expensive sport, right? You have to have equipment. Now, it depends on if you're playing it in high school or whatever, but to be a good player, you're going to end up, you know, the parents have to be as dedicated to it as anybody else. It is a little bit more pedestrian than hockey, though, because it's not as expensive to teach the kids. However, the rules of football are not only complicated, they now have to put a lawyer in the booth with the announcers to explain what just happened on the field.
Yeah.
And they have to go back. And the rules change from one year to the next. And hockey is all pretty simple. There ought to just be, and they had this way back in the day when NBC first had hockey on television in the 1970s into the 1980s.
That's the other part of the problem.
They had a cartoon called Peter Puck. And Peter Puck would come out and would explain the rules to you. That's the whole thing. It would be a little like 3-minute instructional on what is icing, what is offsides, how to pronounce the word out.
Ouch.
It was designed for that. And I think there just needs to be more of that. Again, they sell out the United States. We don't really need to tell this story in Chicago because Chicago are the best hockey fans in North America. So I don't really, you know. Mm-hmm. I give it to Toronto more because they've sold out every game since the last day of World War II in Toronto. And it brought home, one or two Stanley Cups in that 75 years. So they're long-suffering. I understand that. But I think we're pretty good in the United States. All right, we've got, coming up on the other side, Ed Obradovich, speaking of football and rules, he'll have his thoughts on the end of the Bears playoff contention run.
Had a good run.
He's going to have his thoughts coming your way in just a few moments. But first, Lauren Lapka is going to tell us what's happening on the roads and in the skies.
Thrill is gone.
I see what you're doing there. Oh, man. The Chicago Bears season has come to an end in terms of playoff hopes. There's still two games left. One they're going to be absolutely creamed in against the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess it doesn't matter anymore. But one that I still have some interest in, I think most Bears fans do, which is against the Minnesota Vikings. That's a pretty good rivalry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the year
Minnesota Vikings.
1960.
Well, I'm doing Lizzo.
It's the best part of that song.
It's the only part of that song. O.B. Obradovich. Ed O.B. Obradovich is joining us right now. Thank you so much for being here. As always, we appreciate your time.
Good evening.
All right. So when we last spoke, we were talking about the need for the Bears to show up in Green Bay, no matter what. It was the whole season, and it's also, you know, the best rivalry in football. It's the most, and it was a fairly intense game. I mean, it wasn't like either team really gave up. The Bears just weren't as good at the end of 60 minutes of play. And what advice would you have for the organization now as they move forward so that they turn this team that seems like it's on the brink into a real playoff team?
Well, you know what, when you talk about last year and coming into this year, all the high expectations, I mean, everybody was believing, hoping that, you know what, hey, guess what, it's been 34 years. You know, I think this team can do it. They can take us there to the promised land. And you want to talk about a letdown. And I think, again, defensively speaking, are we as good as last year? No, we're not. Not even close, as a matter of fact. But we're still good enough to win a Super Bowl with this defense. What has happened is our offense, which I believe is in total and complete disarray. They don't know if they're going to run the ball to the strong side, the weak side. You know, this is a vertical game. I can't tell you how many times yesterday, the week before, we must throw close to a half or a darn near a good third of horizontal passes. That's not the way it works. The field is 53 yards wide, 100 yards long, and there just happens to be two things at the east of the other sides of the 100 yards. They're end zones, and they're 10 yards, okay? Now, Maggie has got to figure out how to go vertical. And I'm not trying to be funny at all. This guy had game after game after game to try to go vertical, try to move Trubisky out of the pocket. I mean, I've been talking about this, Ro, and you know I have, all year, all last year. This kid is not a pocket passer. He's an action passer. You got to move him. That's the only way you're going to win with this kid. Now, you're talking about going in the next year? What has to be done? Nagy has to give up play calling. He has to bring somebody in. If there's somebody on the staff he thinks is qualified, fine. But I'll tell you what, if not, he's got to step away. He's got to stop coddling that quarterback, grabbing him every time he comes off the field, hugging him, grabbing him, you know, hugging him, talking in his ear. That's got to stop, bro. My God, the kid's 25 years old. He's been here 3 years. It's enough already. The kid knows how to play the position.
Okay, so
the problem is he good enough? And right now, Mitch Trubisky is not good enough to take us to the Super Bowl, period.
Don't you think he had a better game yesterday, though, than you've seen almost all season?
No. Ro?
Yeah.
Were we watching the same game?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. We have played the Green Bay Packers twice this year. You know how many touchdowns we've scored against them?
That'd be one.
Yeah.
One touchdown. And you know when that win? That was in the eighth quarter of two games. We finally scored a touchdown. You don't think we have a problem?
Oh, we do. I don't doubt that. Talking about, though, is he seemed more confident. He was moved, to your point, he was able to move laterally. He was actually to move vertically too. He got up the field a number of times. I think they were worried about him doing that after his injury, and they really can't. I mean, he's just that kind of a quarterback. You're gonna have to put him in harm's way. He's not Tom Brady, right? You're not gonna put all these monsters around him. The offensive line, ever since Kyle Long was lost to the team, and now he'll be gone from the team, would be my assumption. They're gonna have to beef up that offensive line. You're 100% right, 1,000% right, 10,000,000% right that Matt Nagy has to give up the play calling. They gotta find a guy. And the defensive scheme is not particularly great here either. And that's one of the reasons that we're talking about the fact that Khalil Mack, one of the greatest defensive weapons of this century, which I will remind you is one-fifth of the way through. Don't anybody freak out yet. There's no excuse for why that guy can't be you know, the most dominant defensive player. He's certainly built like it. He certainly has the skills, and he's got the mind for it. But they're just not creating a scheme to get him open, to get to the passer.
Well, Ro, I take a little issue with that. There's another fellow on that team. His name is Akeem Hicks. And if you want to talk about the dominant player, is Akeem Hicks. I mean, Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, at the moment, yes.
And that guy, when he's in there, he destroys things. And by the way, I hope the Bears, these last two games, take him and just deactivate him.
Yeah.
Don't let him go out there, because he'll give everything he has, and I don't want him to see him break that arm or rip that arm apart, you know, for no reason whatsoever. But when he's out of there, what does Khalil Mack do? You know, let me tell you something, Ro. Khalil Mack makes $141 million for a six-year contract. Now, if you extrapolate that out, okay, and let's say he plays 50 plays a game. And I mentioned 2 years before, but I mean, it's unbelievable. Why? Because he's been invisible the last six, seven, eight games. All right? Every play, if it's 50 plays a game that he plays, every play he makes $30,000. That kid better walk on water.
That's a good. That's an excellent point.
Well, that's how I started the show. OB was. It's obviously a very disappointing. I mean, this is a game when we were looking at the schedule. We say, hey, maybe that could be a Super Bowl preview. Chiefs are in town. Bears could be good, but here we are. I did start with Akeem Hicks talk because that guy's a warrior. OB. I mean, he could barely lift his left arm, and he's still, as you said, creating destruction in the middle of the line.
He's all-time now. He's all-time Bears now.
I respect that. I mean, he was out there playing with, you could tell, the first series, he's not even moving his left arm, and he's still blowing things up.
There's a kid that could have played in the 60s, could have played on the 85 Bears team. I mean, he's a terrific player. He's got a phenomenal attitude. And boy, when I saw him, the pain that he was in the position where his arm was in when he got it hurt the first time, I thought, that's it. He's not coming back in. I'll be damned. He came back in, got it hurt again, went out, and came back in again. That kid is a warrior. He's a great, great player. And if I was to pick between Mack and Akeem Hicks, it's Akeem Hicks all day long. He is the man that destroys everything. Up the middle, you got to have that force up the middle, so it makes it easier for your outside rushers to go. Why? Because the quarterback can't step up. That's why.
By the way, also to the rushing problems continue. 3.6 yards a carry on the ground. It's just been a mess all season. I can't figure it out. It's been like this all year. Same old story.
It is so disappointing, and we struggle. The whole thing last year, even though we were 12-4, you know what? We struggled last year, Kevin, to score touchdowns. Go back and take a look, and you'll see. We score a touchdown a game, maybe two touchdowns. It might be in a fourth quarter. You know, how many close games? Look at what's happened this year. We played the last five games. We played the Lions twice. In 14 games, they've won already this year. They've only won three games. We played the New York Giants. They've won two games. We played the Dallas Cowboys. When they came in here, they were 6-6. And all of a sudden, the Bears have found the promised land. You know, everything is great. Everything's wonderful. Well, guess what? They went up into Lambeau, and they should have feasted on the Packers. This, again, are the games that you live for. Believe me when I tell you that. This is who you want to play in that particular situation.
Yeah.
We go up there, and we score a touchdown in the fourth quarter of that football game.
Yeah, I get it. I know. OB, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week after an absolute slaughter is what we're going to be dealing with next week. There he goes, Ed Obradovich. We got the news coming your way in 2 minutes from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Your very own
WGN. It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we shall do it. A solemn check in at
number 5.
Today is the 1-year anniversary of the death of Chicago police officers Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo. They were killed in the line of duty while chasing a suspect onto train tracks. Their service and sacrifice remembered with a special ceremony at the district where they spent their careers as police officers. Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck.
I never met them, but I know them. I know them because I'm the son of a cop, the father of three. I know them because I see their faces in their brothers that I met today. I know them because I see their character in the 13,000 men and women that share the badge that they wore. I know them because they walked those dark streets. They stood on the rampart. They protected others at the expense of their own safety. They were true cops. Real police. Good police.
I did have an opportunity to get to know the families of Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo over the last year, and I have to say that those are two of the bravest women I have ever met, those two widows, because their ability to stand up and they're obviously, when you have situations like this, there are many organizations that reach out and that try to help. And there's many times that they're asked to be in public while they're still grieving and mourning. And especially in a, when young families, as you heard there.
So close to
right. That's one of the children. Yeah. And there were, I think, a total of 5 children that lost their dads mm-hmm. on that day. So when you have a moment of having to be out in public like that, those two women are some of the, I take so much strength from their strength as they tell their story or they talk about their families and what the struggle has been like for the last year. And that's what you got to remember. I mean, there's so much time spent in our business, in the media business, talking about things that go wrong with police officers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they do. I'm not trying to excuse bad behavior here because I won't. But they're, for every incident like that, there are 1,000 incidents, 1,000 in which cops are doing the right thing and going and chasing down a suspect. Things you never hear about because it doesn't end in tragedy. It just ends in an arrest. And for the people who go out and ride the streets day and night and have to go out and confront people that everybody else would want to run away from, it's just, it's a totally thankless job.
They're doing it to help keep us safe. So their lives are on us as well.
Right. And those two young police officers were exactly doing what they were supposed to do. They got the call. There was a report of shots fired. There's a train trestle right there. They went up the train trestle. They thought that they were going to be able to confront the gunman up there. They saw one train heading toward them. They were able to get away from that, but were not aware of the one behind them. And they both lost their lives today. And it actually is the first time since the 1970s that the Chicago Police Department had lost 2 police officers in the same incident. So it was a really horrible, tragic loss. And just 3 weeks ago, we commemorated the 1-year anniversary of the Mercy Hospital situation. That's just, so to lose 3 police officers in short order like that for the Chicago Police Department and the city of Chicago was a great tragedy. And thankfully, the last year has been relatively safe for Chicago police officers. But it's still a moment to remember. It's a moment to reflect. And you think about those young families and you think about the service and the sacrifice that those two men gave to Chicago. And that's all I want to say about it, because it's an emotional thing. For me, we just honored those 3 widows from the Mercy and then these 2 police officers' wives a couple of weeks ago, or months ago now, 2 months ago.
One, I believe, did run the marathon in honor of her husband.
Right.
And that was a really great story to hear as well.
So we did honor them at a dinner a couple of months ago, and they stood up there and they told their story. And I want to just thank them, and I want to thank all the other people who are working to make their lives better. Let's check now the traffic and the weather. Here is Lauren Lapka.
And get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 4.
Bears lost the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, in case you missed it.
Yeah, on a plane.
They missed the playoffs. Did you hear about that?
Yep.
Definitely.
Mitch Trubisky was asked if that last play, that attempt at, wasn't a Hail Mary. It was basically one of those
options. Yeah.
You throw the ball short, and then everybody gets behind, and you just lateral back, and you hope to get in the end zone. And they got pretty close.
Hook and ladder. Yeah, they almost pulled it off.
Yep, they almost did. But did that sum up the season, Mitch Trubisky?
No. I would say that's a little bit of a reach. You could flip it around and say, we're giving great effort. We're just coming up short. So it is what it is. Just didn't go our way. But you can't ever let one play dictate how the game goes. There are a bunch of plays throughout the game that if we would have made, maybe it could have been different. But you could say maybe, if, and, or buts. There's a lot of hypotheticals that we just can't get into. So we got to fix the mistakes, watch the film, and get better from there. But you never dwell on one play early on, later in the game. Doesn't matter when it happens. Some plays are more crucial than others, and that's how it falls down. But overall, if you make more plays, then you won't be in that spot.
What are the odds that he makes a mistake while saying we need to fix the mistakes?
I actually thought he played pretty well yesterday, going back and watching it. I mean, the past few games, he's really been okay with making plays, running. One of the interceptions was a Hail Mary, so I don't know. I think he's gotten better over the past few weeks.
That's true. But I think Lauren's point is right as well. Although he said fist the mistakes, which I thought that seems rather aggressive.
Yeah, just punch him in the face. That's the way to get through, right?
Merry Fistmas.
Matt, I know what you did there. I've got, you know what? You're going to get a memo for that. Matt Nagy, I have a question for you, too. What about the inconsistency in the run game? Can you ever get it together?
The consistency is where we're at. And that's going to be, for myself, just, something that I know that I take personally. And I really want, I understand how important it is to run the football. And even going back to yesterday, you know, there's run calls in there that y'all don't know because we threw it, you know, with the RPOs. So there's a handful of those, and you want to be successful with that. And so we'll go back as a staff, and we'll go back as an organization and just kind of figure out that. But we do know we need to be better there.
You know, I've given such great advice to coaches throughout Chicago for many years, as you know.
Yes.
I'm going to give some advice to Coach Nagy now. The reason that you're having trouble running the ball is your offensive line is incapable of run blocking.
Mm-hmm. Not been good. David Montgomery, the leading rusher, 14 carries, 39 yards. That's 2.8 yards a carry roll. That's not good.
He was getting bear hugged at the line or before the line of scrimmage.
I know. It's the same old story.
Yeah. They're just not. And pass protection hasn't been particularly great. I know the loss of Kyle Long means something, but I think it also means a fresh new future. That's if the Bears are going to build anywhere in the offseason, they should be targeting the offensive line.
I agree.
And they put a guy in who can't snap the ball. I will not mention that man's name in case OB is still listening. I do not want him to have a seizure. OB, that is. All right, checking in at
number 3.
Days after, Mississippi parents spoke out about hackers using their Ring security camera to harass their 8-year-old in her room. More worried families say hackers are targeting them. Here are Jake and Ashley Norris of Kansas City. They say that their Ring security camera was hacked and was subject to unwanted commentary by the hacker.
My son was out here on his iPad and we started hearing kind of this muffled talking. My kids were here and he's talking to my kids and spying on it. It just so wrong. Our daughter's still creeped out. She couldn't fall asleep that night, and I've slept with her every night since because she's so scared. It's creepy.
Yeah, you're still getting violent. You know, we're sitting here watching TV, hanging out as a family, and someone's using it like a reality TV show or something.
Kids already worry about monsters under the bed, and now they just have to worry about ghost voices in their house.
The worst. And then there was this couple. This is unbelievable. Interracial couple. This is in Florida, right? Jacksonville, Florida. And listen to the hacker here.
What's going on, my main man, Shaq? It's your boy, Chance on Nold. Welcome to the Noldcast.
Wait, so did your child come out black or like kind of like light-skinned? I don't know.
What?
Nothing. Can you bring, like, a web browser up on your phone and then type in the website that I tell you?
No.
Why?
I'll leave you and your family alone. Or I could do this. I like your dog.
What an idiot.
I mean, you could get arrested for harassment, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a felony. There's a federal crime in that because he's using the interstate wires to harass them. And you can also argue it's a hate crime. But I would make it my life's business. I'd go full Taken on this. I would make it my life's business to find this guy. I've got a particular set of skills. And you can run, but you can't hide, 14-year-old.
I'll find you.
And I'll wait to your 18th birthday. And on your 18th birthday, you're going to get quite a surprise, my little friend. I would, man. I mean, it is.
I know. Because then that's your home. Like, how could you ever be comfortable in that home again?
You can't.
You got to turn the tables.
Some little weirdo teenagers hacking into your system.
Come sit it to my face, 14-year-old. You have your particular set of skills, and I've got mine.
Unleash him. He'll get this solved right away.
Yeah, I know. I got to get Liam Neeson on this.
There you go.
I got to get him brought in here, finding this guy. I'd have like in Home Alone, the Michael Jordan stand-up. I would have a Liam Neeson stand-up in the house at all times. Should sell that for your ring. That should come along with your ring camera.
I like your dog.
You like my dog, do you? You're going to learn something a little bit about what dogs do now. Because you're going to act like a dog before this is all said and done. Bark like the dog that you are. All right, check in at
number two.
Are we allowed to have Christmas without Mariah Carey?
I think it's the law that you have to have her involved.
She says she's the queen of Christmas. And she's in the number one spot in the top 100, Hot 100. All I want for Christmas is you. And it's because of those Christmas music stations.
Yeah, they will play her for 24 hours sometimes, or at least once every hour leading up to Christmas.
All I Want for Christmas, this is the first time the 25-year-old song has hit number one. The song's previous record was number three on the charts. I think this proves there are too many Christmas-only radio stations. She was 24 when she recorded this. And she had like the 16 octave range or whatever the hell that is.
She's still got quite the range.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not as she used to.
You know how much this song has reaped her? This alone, $60 million.
What?
Yep.
Song is having a good run.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Thank you, Mariah. And finally,
number one.
A brazen porch pirate left a thank you note after stealing a Christmas gift in Minnesota, even signing it from the new owner of your package. The note left victim Hillary Von Smith shocked.
I looked down and there was a piece of notebook paper folded neatly on the top step where the package probably should have been. So I picked it up, read it, and it basically was a thank you note for letting me steal your package. And I do appreciate a nicely crafted thank you note, but this is ridiculous. I was angry and confused and quite flabbergasted that somebody would actually leave a thank you note when they steal a package. It's, you know, brazen and arrogant.
So what she's done is she's left other packages out there now with her dog's feces. Relief items in it.
It's probably the same guy creeping into people's cameras.
Right.
Come on over to my house and try to steal the package on my front porch. I got a particular set of skills for that, too, my friend.
I like your dog.
Oh, yeah, you're going to like my dog, all right. Especially when he's feasting on your nether regions. Oh, God. All right, now, how about this story? In Colorado Springs, same idea here. Christine Hyatt got tired of porch pirates taking her packages, so she decided to get even with them. Not much to anyone's surprise, her decoy packages were gone within hours, gifting holiday package thieves with something rather unexpected.
I've had packages stolen multiple times. I went ahead and said, hey, let's box up some trash and see if someone takes it. The first time we put cat litter in it, dirty cat litter. It was gone in a couple hours. The next time, just a bunch of random trash. This is our next set. We've got diapers and cat poo
and lots of trash. And then there's a very lovely sign. And the sign says, me three, you zero. And it has a couple of profanity words about you shouldn't touch poo. If you don't steal my stuff, you won't have to touch it.
There are some really great videos of revenge package stealing. There's one that has like a almost like a party popper, but in a box form. Mm-hmm. And someone goes to run away with it and just like kind of explodes open, not to where someone would be harmed. But it scared the crap out of the guy that was taking it.
Liam Neeson filled with explosives.
A little C4 will teach you something. Fewer fingers.
Say goodbye to your hands.
Orches. I'm also going to put hungry rattlesnakes in the next box that I've got in front. That'd be kind of a fun one to do.
Yeah. what he puts in the package.
Oh, yeah. Just put a live snake. It'd be great.
Yes. I also have C4, number of explosives, and live botulism toxin. Good luck. That is my particular set of skills.
The top five at five.
All right, coming up on the other side of the 5 o'clock news here, this is interesting. Do you want to go to Cleveland in 35 minutes and not take a plane? You could take a train. This is a fascinating story. This is the argument of the circulator again. You could be able to get to New York in an hour and 15 minutes on a train. Really? We'll find out about it, but first, the news with Kim Gordon at 5:30. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN, welcoming Lauren and Kevin back from Mexico. They are telling me a number of stories about loves found and lost on the road.
I love you so much!
And about all of the different things, the hope that these two young, now very tan, I can't believe what I did on the beach. Expressions on their face.
Still finding sand everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, God. Too much information. Although I
said everywhere. I didn't say anything about which specific places.
But I love your braids. I think that was a lovely thing that you did. The beat is good. And Kevin, I like your braids too.
Thank you. Those were really smart. Just, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. If you'd like to see these two in person, if you're going to be at the Hawks game on Wednesday. We're going to be out starting as soon as the gates open. You can come over to the Goose Island Pub, which is really it's one of the more fun bars in the concourse. I always get the section wrong, so I won't tell you exactly what section it is, but it is it's basically in the southeast corner of the United Center. So if you're coming in from the atrium, you go to your left and just around, and you're good to go. And if you're coming in from the Madison Street, you turn left and you come around.
Or if you just choose one direction and keep walking, you'll eventually run into it.
Yes, that's true. I like to do a lap or two at the...
I always do that. Scout everything out. See how the stadium's coming to life. Section 109, by the way, Goose Island Pub.
Thank you. That is correct. Come out and see us. It's our last appearance there this year, but we'll be back in January. Don't worry about it. And it's always fun. We always have a good time when we're there, and we've got all kinds of Hawks folks and things like that. And maybe if we're lucky, if the Hawks are lucky, I'll give them more advice on how to win. More coaching advice, things that I can do.
A little pep talk for the fellas.
And you'll see us in the concourse after our broadcast. Early puck drop, by the way, we should remind for Hawks fans, we're going to be there on Wednesday. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop because it's a network game, right?
Mm-hmm. 6:30 pregame.
Yeah. So we got it. You always got to know what's happening in a situation like that. And we've got, it'll be fun. It's, you know, it's always a great night. Mm-hmm. The question here is, are they going to be able to turn it around? And I have, I'm doing everything I can, as you know, to help this team. All the wisdom that I have over the years been able to accumulate.
You've been exercising all of your superstitions. Everything you got.
Everything.
Dumping the bag out. Two different color socks. Your lucky sweater's on.
I do have, for all of my teams, and this is not going well this year, by the way.
Yeah, what if we didn't mix it up a little bit?
My Bears underwear has not been working for me, and I haven't washed it in 3 seasons.
Oh, God.
Ew.
Yeah. So there's, you know, that's that. I think now that they've missed the playoffs for the last, number of years, but these last 3 years that I've had the lucky underwear, I think I'm going to.
I'm taking note. Get Row Bears underwear for Christmas.
Yeah, I've got. Yeah, there's
some new
that.
Juju.
My Khalil Mack jersey I stopped wearing that at the end of last season.
Oof.
That was my favorite. I was like, we're going to win every time I'm wearing this thing. Every time. And then after the doink, that was it.
It's an expensive thing to sit in the closet.
I retired it. Oof. After the doink.
That's what you were wearing during the the double?
Yep. That's it. Done. You've lost all of your hope. Well, I don't know why.
Do you have anything for the Bulls? Do you have like a throwback Jordan jersey you were rocking in the 90s?
It doesn't quite fit me anymore, but I still wear it. I think it's really fun to wear. And, you know, pasty white shoulders, too. I wear it without a t-shirt. I just put it on.
Okay.
I sit there. Yeah. I like that. I like the idea of that. A little bit of hair on the back. I think that's the people like that.
Show up to the park nearby.
Yeah.
Play a little pickup game with some kids.
And the shorty shorts and the big socks.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm ready for all of that.
Long white tube socks.
Yep. Could,
and New Balance white tennis shoes, because that just seems to be the thing for boomers.
The dad shoes?
Mm-hmm, the dad shoes.
That's for the older boomers.
Roe actually has really good style, but yes, there are some that...
That's true.
It's the same New Balance pair over and over.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
In the summer, they have grass stain from mowing the lawn out in the suburbs. And then when those get dirty...
They're comfortable.
They're comfortable.
They're comfortable.
They go with everything. I can wear my khakis and a polo all day, every day.
Great support.
So anyway, if you want to come out and see me in my my Hawks underwear, which I won't show you, but just know that I'm wearing. And I do have a couple of things I should probably bring back. I had one from the run that I have not been wearing.
For the...
The run. Like 13, 14, 15.
Gotcha.
A t-shirt.
Bring it back.
That I need to bring back. Maybe I'll do that.
Okay.
All right.
I'll put that on.
Okay, I'm doing that.
To-do list for Wednesday.
Yeah, for Wednesday, I'll have that underneath. You know, I'll have a whole thing.
Okay.
Because it's so sort of chilly in there now. When we get into the United Center,
it's freezing.
4 hours before, 3 hours before people are allowed in the United Center, they drop it down as cold as they can possibly get it because they want to firm up the ice.
It does get
so
cold.
The concourse is about 45 degrees.
All right. Send thoughts and prayers. I hope we can get through it.
It's like a scene from Dr. Zhivago. There's like a snowstorm inside the concourse. I'm just dragging through, and I'm all over my mustache and beard. I've got just icicles dripping down.
Yeah. You look like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining.
Yeah, it's bad. All right.
It's worth it. We'll fight through.
Coming up, do you want to get to Cleveland in 35 minutes? The new super circulator is being bandied about again. The idea of a train that is going to be the way to get all the way around the Great Lakes region is back on the table. I'll tell you about it. It's actually kind of interesting. Although I don't know that I need to get to Cleveland in 35 minutes for any reason ever whatsoever, but we'll find out. In the meantime, traffic and weather with Lauren Lapka. All right, let's do this here. There's a proposal that's been on the table, actually, throughout the Great Lakes region for the last number of years about putting up a hyperloop, a train that would ostensibly be above the ground and would at some times travel speeds in excess of 500 miles per hour. Could get you from Chicago to Cleveland in 35 minutes. The original idea of the Hyperloop would be able to get it from Chicago to Cleveland to Pittsburgh. The Cleveland to Pittsburgh would take 24 minutes.
What is it normally by plane? Any idea?
Well, you got to get to the airport.
Right.
You know,
Right. That's probably what really takes a lot of time is the whole getting.
And then you
got
to get off the gauge, you got to take off, you got to get back through, you got the whole deal. All right, Grace Gallucci is with us, and she is part of an organization, executive director of Northeast Ohio Area Wide Coordinating Agency, and they're the ones that have been sort of pushing for this Midwest Great Lakes Hyperloop that would include Chicago, of course. And now, you got to explain, Grace, to me exactly how this could possibly work, because it seems like, we'll get to the cost, the expense, and all that, because that's interesting as well, and how it pays for itself eventually. But what's the technology here? This thing cannot be obviously at ground level, right? It's because it's got to be flying above all the other stuff that's below it that it could possibly hit.
So actually, no. What it is bringing airplane speeds down to ground level. So it is at ground level. And actually, for this particular feasibility study, we determined that much of it needs to be underground. And if you think about it, it is a tunnel. a tube within the tunnel, and then the pod, which can be described as a small regional jet without wings, goes into the tube. It levitates above the magnets that are in the pod. It has a air vacuum, and that takes away the resistance, which allows it to move faster.
And it will go up to 500 miles an hour.
Well, actually, 500 miles an hour is more around the average speeds. Oh, it can go up to 760 miles if you have a completely straight route. When you start introducing a little bit of curves within the geography, then you've got to have some slowing down and speeding up, and therefore you get to average speeds of in the 500 miles per hour
range.
Well,
isn't that like the speed of sound? What happens there?
So, no, it's below the speed of sound, okay. I believe. And
just
really,
below.
Again, we're talking about something that already has been tested at the airplane level. So we're not doing anything that is too terribly different in terms of what happens to a person when they're going through that that speed.
Okay, so on an airplane, you know, you're in the air. If there's no turbulence, you can't really feel it. But when you're on the ground, is it, or underground in this particular case, can you feel it? Is it like moving? Do you have to stay in your seat, or would people be able to get up and move around?
So they will be able to get up and move around, but because the journey is so short, they may not want to or not need to. But it is such that you're not dealing with a tremendous amount of movement, and in many ways, it actually is intended to give you that feel of a high-speed rail where you're able to go through without any major feel that you're going that fast.
How far away are we realistically seeing this come to life?
So if we went from today and we said all of the next steps would be perfect, and then we would be talking about an environmental impact study, we'd be talking about preliminary engineering, design, and then construction. We're talking about best case scenario, which we hope is a realistic scenario, but 10 years.
Wow. And how many people per pod?
So the pods are currently designed as a small regional jet, and they fit between 28 to 44 passengers, depending on how you want to configure it.
What about price range? Because I know a lot of people have been talking about, well, if it's really not that much cheaper than a flight, then what's the point other than the convenience of time? But will this be something that's a cheaper option for travelers?
So the idea is to promote travel on a regular basis. If you can get to Chicago from Cleveland in 30 to 45 minutes, and the reason I say 30 to 45, we've got three different options, and they have different times depending on a number of different issues which would be resolved in the next phase of the study. So at this point, they're all on the table. But your question is really about the price and how we would be able to price this out so it would be competitive or reasonable as compared to a flight. Really, we're looking at it if this transformative technology does what we think it's going to do, it will create a larger regional footprint. So instead of talking about the region as Chicagoland or as Northeast Ohio, we are now talking about the Great Lakes mega region. And when you think of it that way, about being able to work somewhere that is currently 350 miles away, you need to have a fare that's more like a commuter fare. So we're talking for the daily commuter, maybe some kind of a package that gives you a very low cost because you're a daily or a month, you know, the monthly riders, and all the way up to some different kinds of pods that may be more specific to individual travelers. So I guess what I'm saying is that at this point, we don't have specific fares, but the fares are expected to be variable, and starting with a commuter fare that is affordable and accessible to all people that want to be able to take it primarily for work trips.
So the idea here would be, and I know your original idea for the Great Lakes Hyperloop loop is Chicago, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. And I've seen other plans. I'm not sure if this is your study or your organization, but other plans that then take that back around through Columbus, Indianapolis, maybe to St. Louis, and then back up to Chicago to create a Midwestern, an entire Midwestern loop. The idea being you could live in Chicago and work in Cleveland or vice versa. Is that sort of the idea? Because it would be a similar commute that you would have to go to the suburbs?
It is. That's exactly the idea. And in terms of what is our plan, so we have a system map that's divided into three phases. The first phase is the corridor between Cleveland and Chicago as sort of being the spine. If you look at the two largest interstates in the United States, Route 80 and Route 90, one from San Francisco to New York, the other one from Seattle to Boston, they come across the country and intersect in two cities, Cleveland and Chicago. And that's the tollway and the turnpike for us in Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. So that would be phase one. Phase two, actually, Pittsburgh was part of phase two, but because they requested to be part of phase one and provided us funding to do that, we moved them up. But phase two then connects all kinds of cities around the Great Lakes, Toronto, Detroit, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Buffalo, Syracuse, also somewhat going into the Midwest in terms of the Indianapolis and so forth.
Right.
And then phase three takes us to East Coast, to New York, Boston, D.C., and Philadelphia.
Now, will these pods stop in between like a train does, or will they be designated to go specifically from one place to the next?
So they will not stop. They will be going specifically from one place to the other.
So you'd have to have multiple tracks and tubes then, right?
So you'd have one tube going each way, and the pods could travel 45 seconds after each other, but there would have to be some kind of deceleration lane similar to a highway interchange or a switch
get off,
similar to trains, right?
All right, let me quickly, because I got less than a minute left here. If you're going above grade, you're going out onto the, you know, sometimes you're in a tunnel, sometimes you're at ground level. What's to keep something from hitting or this pod hitting something else? You know, an animal or a car or something else like that.
So the pod travels in a tube, and the tube is what protects the pod from the environment.
So it's never outside.
It's never outside, okay. Exactly. It doesn't run into traffic or anything else.
All right. Wow. Well, it's the future. I don't want to laugh at the future because people laughed at the airplane and look what happened. Grace Gallucci, thank you very much. Executive Director of the Northeast Ohio Coordinating Agency here that's looking at this Hyperloop that will take us around.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for your interest. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. You explained it very well. I'm a little freaked out.
Praying this happens.
Can you imagine living in Cleveland and coming to Chicago for work? Now no one will pay taxes.
I cannot imagine that, quite honestly. All right, we've got the WGN Newsroom, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, too. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. You know, every once in a while, social media pays off. And in this particular case, it did. There was a September flight from L.A. to Chicago, scheduled to take off. Plane was still on the tarmac. Temperatures in the cabin were rising. Passengers were getting mad, and they took to Twitter. I have a friend who does this. Anytime anything goes wrong in his life,
he likes to express.
He goes
himself.
To Twitter. He's got a lot of followers too.
Yeah,
so he's one of those guys that's like he's in a hotel room and the people next door to him are making too much noise,
right? And he wants to make everybody aware of it,
right? Hey, at Bellagio.
Oh, he attacks.
What's wrong in room 924?
Gotcha. So he'll go after like airlines if they're delayed or.
So this one guy tweeted. Chaos on at United Flight 1987. Send us at White Claw ASAP. #The thirst is real. Joshua Maresca tweeted.
Of course.
And of course, his name is Joshua. Yeah. United Airlines was listening. After landing, they sent a case of White Claw.
What?
The variety pack?
I'm assuming.
You got to hope.
He said, was I still mad? I missed my dinner plans? Of course.
Of course. Oh, my God.
Only got a $50 voucher for three delays and a missing bag. He gets a case of White Claw for being stuck there? Come on.
You know what? I think that some of you people, and when I say you people, I think you know what I mean. I think you'd do anything for White Claw. I've seen it. Did they have White Claw in Mexico?
No.
Oh, see?
And it was asked.
Look at how salty she is about that.
I didn't care.
Lauren's friend was like fiending for it. She's like, I need White Claw. She's scratching her neck.
She walked up to the bar the first day, and she was like, do you have any White Claw? And the waiter just goes, ha, 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 and
laughing.
Walks away. He laughed in her face. And then I had to laugh because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Looks like Joshua got a raspberry pack.
Is that good?
Passengers of airlines alike are wishing to use social media as a place to go out and really cause hell for the airlines. And they respond.
Oh, they do, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Airlines, meanwhile, are tuning in more closely than ever to keep the tales of travelers gone awry from spiraling into public relations nightmares. Because that's what can happen. Hey, at United Airlines, I don't like my 737 MAX.
Some people completely embarrass themselves when they're complaining, and everyone's like, no one cares. We've all dealt with it. But I'm going to ask for a case of Miller Lite next time my flight's delayed.
Millions of people will head to the airports this holiday season, expected to carry 2.2 million to 3 million passengers each day between December 19th and January 5th. How about that?
That's a lot of people.
Then you got the winter weather. You got Chicago, which always creates delays if you get anything here. Although, we're being told, at least for the next week, no major weather here. So huge. That's good news if you're traveling, trying to get in and get out. Now, in the early days of Facebook and Twitter, customers who got tired of waiting on hold when calling traditional customer service hotlines and failed to get a response, which happens all the time, it took to social media to try to get a rise. Now, it's about whatever's happening on the airplane.
Some lady screaming.
Oh, my God. Well, also the ubiquity of the camera, too, right? Everybody's got a camera.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever anything goes wrong,
everyone's like, I gotta
on
get
the
this.
Airplane, if you look down, if you know, if you're standing at the front of the airplane looking back, all you see are the phones up in the air.
I know.
As people are recording what's happening. I don't know. Does that
Well, because everyone's together in the fact that, like, there are certain airline travel like guidelines that I think all of us wish everyone was on board with. You know, my biggest pet peeve is people bringing hot food onto the plane, like a bag of McDonald's greasy. I'm like, it doesn't work. There's something about the fast smells, food that mixes with the scent of the airplane, and it's horrendous. Shouldn't be allowed.
Don't take your shoes off.
That is also
gross. Or people that put their feet up like on the armrest to where you could see their foot in your arm area. It's the worst.
At United Airlines, some guy's stinky feet are on my armrest.
Bring a case of Miller Lite.
At Miller Lite. Hashtag Miller Time.
Great taste, less filling. Get this guy's foot out of here.
I don't know. And sometimes I'll say, because I'll see it on social media, I see my guy going like nuts about this. You know, at some hotel, some swanky hotel. And I just want to go, dude, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
I know.
All right, well.
Just glad for, happy for Joshua.
Yes, Joshua was able to get a case of White Claw.
One of the lucky ones.
Thank God. Imagine, now Joshua's got White Claw to hand out to Becca.
Like, and her friends.
And Amber and all the rest of their friends, yeah.
And Tiffany.
All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's coming up on the traffic and the weather?
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
He's my guy. And the Skilling squad. And Joe Donlan. Love it. Although I'm traveling internationally with Ben Bradley in February.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Just bought my tickets for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Praying for you. The crew you're going with, I'm sending thoughts and prayers already in advance.
Yeah. Some TV and some politicians, and I'll have stories if I get back from the third world country that we have to go to. It's a fact-finding mission. I'm the Rudy Giuliani of Chicago media.
Oh, God.
I'm on a fact-finding mission. I'm going to go figure this whole thing out. All right, so let's talk about Bears. Adam Hoge is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Satellite, and we had OB on earlier, sort of throwing the dirt over the grave of the Chicago Bears playoff hopes.
Yep.
And I'm a little surprised, Adam, that NBC kept the Bears-Chiefs game for Sunday Night Football. They didn't flex it out.
So the Titans losing kind of hurt their chances. I was told last week that if the Bears lost and Titans won, then there would be a good chance to be Saints and Titans this coming Sunday night. And because they both teams lost, even though the Bears are eliminated, I think NBC all along preferred to keep the Bears-Chiefs game in there. There's just too many good storylines, and you know, like it or not, the Bears still
Chicago market, yeah.
Yeah, even when they're bad, the Bears still bring in the ratings.
Before the season, Adam, when I predicted the Bears would go 12-4 and win the Super Bowl, that's not looking too good right now. Not a great prediction by me, but this was a game we thought could be a Super Bowl preview. It's obviously not the case.
I just want to point something out. I did say that the Bears, if they lost the first game, I said we're going to go 12-4 like you. If they beat Green Bay in the first game, if they lost the first game, they would go 8-8. We have that on tape. I can prove that up.
Yeah, wow. You did.
I'm 1-1 away from that prediction coming true.
There you go. Out of Hallis Hall today. I mean, what should Bears fans be watching the next two games?
Well, and first of all, that's a good prediction, Ro, because you kind of knew that first night. Like I went crazy. I said 13-3. I thought this was a legitimate Super Bowl team, but it was like, I don't know, maybe even a quarter and a half into that game on September 5th, where I had that uh-oh moment. Because the offense just did not look how it was supposed to look coming out of the preseason. So I think, you know, today, Kevin, to answer your question, and I asked Matt Nagy specifically about the running game today, because I still feel like, as much as we've talked about the development of Mitch Trubisky, nothing has been more disappointing than the Bears' inability to consistently run the football the last 2 years in this offense. So it was one thing last year, where they made it seem like, all right, they don't have the right running back. They needed to trade Jordan Howard. Then they draft David Montgomery. We spent so much of the offseason talking about that and talking about how the Bears were fixing the running game. And for them to go into Lambeau yesterday and go up against a bad rushing defense. The Packers are 25th in the league in rushing.
They didn't look so bad yesterday.
No.
And they were playing 5 and 6 defensive backs yesterday. I mean, they weren't even – it's not like they were loading the box and trying to take the run away from the Bears. They dared the Bears to run against them, and they just couldn't do it. They just don't have a running game.
Yeah, it's bad. It's tough to watch. I thought Mitch actually had a pretty solid game. I know you look at the numbers, 2 interceptions. One of them was a Hail Mary. 53 pass attempts tells you everything you need to know about how bad the running game is. What did Matt Nagy say about after reviewing the tape about Mitch, and what did you see from him?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he took a step backwards compared to recent weeks. You know, I think part of it you can blame on not getting Mitch on the move a lot, or enough, I should say. And it seemed like Trubisky kind of felt the same way after the game with his comments. But, you know, when you have 83 offensive plays in a game, you can't do everything. You know, you can't just roll Mitch out 83 times in a game. It's not possible. So I think the problem is that just somewhere in there, he still needs to be a pocket passer. And the offensive line just didn't do their job yesterday. They didn't protect well enough. They didn't open up holes in the running game. And it's not just Mitch. It's all quarterbacks. If you're standing back there in a pocket that's muddy and there's pressure in your face, your mechanics break down.
And it's cold.
And it's cold.
And now, Mitch, there's one thing I always think about. And those in the gambling industry always think about. You look at where the star players went to college or grew up, and games like Lambeau or Cleveland, which is where Mitch Trubisky's from, so he understands cold weather. But still, that the high school football season ends in November. You know, yeah. December in Green Bay is a very different circumstance, and it's or Denver. Sometimes you get that, you know, crazy kind of weather situation there. Kansas City had it. There are places where it can get super, super, super cold. Guys, I'm telling you, even though they're primed athletes and they're making all this money, it is a very different circumstance, because if you start to not be able to feel your hands or the ball gets super slick, you need guys who know how to manage that or have learned how to manage that. And you started to see that a little bit yesterday with some of the skills players. But I thought Mitchell had actually a pretty good game yesterday. I thought the receivers were great.
Yeah.
They were catching the ball. You know, if we start to just sort of do an autopsy on the season here, which we can, first of all, Akeem Hicks shouldn't play again this season. Do we know anything?
It sounds like he's going to, though.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Based on what Nagy said today, it sounds like that he's cleared to play. They're going to keep him in there.
But
I think he wants to be Andy Reid really bad.
Why is he going into Kansas City, his old team? Yeah, well, he's not going to. So why would you risk this guy having a chronic injury with his elbow as opposed to letting it heal now? He's going to have, unfortunately, 8 months to let it heal. You know, it's like, why would you do that to your star player?
Yeah, I mean, I get the sense that the damage is already done there with the elbow. I don't know. We'll find out here probably right at the end of the season if Akeem Hicks needs surgery. It might be one of those things where it's just going to be what it is until he gets surgery. Really, he can't do any more damage. If he could do more damage, they wouldn't play him. I think right now it's a pain tolerance issue. Akeem yesterday after the game described it to us like two bones rubbing up against each other in that elbow. So when he came out twice yesterday and he looked like he was in agonizing pain, it's because he was in agonizing pain. And they just need the pain to go away, and he goes back out there. And so he gutted it out. I don't get the sense he can do any more damage to it. Now, something else could happen.
He makes top 50 Bears all time for yesterday's game alone.
It was incredible. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
You posted a quote from Mitch after the game that read, in part, "We just got to continue to find ways to take pressure off our offensive line with a good pass rush like that. Continue to mix it up, whether it's screens, running, it draws, all that kind of stuff. That helps." And then the follow-up question was, so you're talking about play design. You could have helped your offensive line. He says, "We could have done a lot of stuff." Yeah. It was just an interesting comment. What did you make of that? Am I looking too much into it when it comes to his thoughts on the plays Matt Nagy's sending in?
No, I mean, I thought it was interesting. I was standing there in the room when he said it, and I thought it was interesting. You know, it sounded like he was somewhat questioning the game plan. Now, you know, when you step back, and this is what I was alluding to a few moments ago, when you run 83 plays in the game, you know, you can't roll out every play. You can't run screens, draws, all that stuff every single play. But I do think Mitch has a point that when the offensive line is struggling the way it was yesterday, you can make adjustments within the game and do more things to help the offensive line. That's the context that he was talking about, and that's the thing I think gets lost when we keep having these conversations about what Mitch does well. Those rollouts, those types of things with him on the move, the reason why it helps him is because it's also helping the offensive line. It's taking the pressure off the O-line. And so Mitch thought they could do more. Nagy today, I mean, the questioning was based off of Mitch comments yesterday because Mitch talked after Nagy. And today, basically, Matt said he wasn't even aware that Mitch said those things, and he felt like he did those things during the game. So I think it's just another chapter in the story this year where those guys aren't completely on the same page. And, I mean, really, it sounds simple, but this offseason, it's all about getting those guys on the same page. They need to be in lockstep. Nagy needs to do a better job overall of tailoring the offense to Mitch's strengths, and they need to find a running game.
Also, offensive line, they got to go out and find some guys. And they don't have a lot of draft opportunities here. So you got to go find guys for the offensive line. You got to go find a little bit more help. You're probably going to bring in another quarterback, too, to back up Trubisky. I mean, there are things that need to be addressed here. I'm sorry. You know, God bless you. But it's this is a disappointment based on the expectations and certainly what the talent is on the team, because you do have it. All right, Adam Hoge, our Bears insider. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There he goes. We've got the WGN news coming your way in about 2 minutes at the bottom of the hour. And then, are you Sharenting? Are you Sharenting?
Excuse me?
Yes. Sharing too much information online about your kids because you're a proud parent? We'll tell you about the dangers of that coming up right after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 2. Are you Sharenting? What does that mean? Why do I have to learn a new word? Well, I'll tell you why I have to learn a new word. Because you probably are Sharenting. Sharing too much information about your kids on social media because, in part, you think your child is the cutest child that ever lived.
Everyone has that problem.
Every parent has that problem, even if their child really, you know, unfortunately. So, but just remember, sometimes less attractive babies grow up to be really good-looking adults. That's what I'd like to tell you right now. But we're not, but you know, hope is not a plan. So what I think you need to do is to be very careful about this. There's this really interesting, there's a book out called Sharenting. Leah Plunkett is a faculty associate for youth and media team at the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. No less than Harvard University.
I've heard of it.
And she's looking at this exact problem. And it's kind of annoying and sometimes funny, but there are real dangers associated with this, right, Leah?
There absolutely are. There are dangers that can be posed to your child IRL in real life if would-be wrongdoers get private information about where they live, what they do after school, what their likes and dislikes are, as well as the ability of folks both now and in the future to take private information, put together fraudulent applications for credit, or learn other confidential things that can be used against your child down the road when they apply to schools, jobs, or other major adult opportunities.
So let's there was one mention here in the story in Fast Company today about this, that even the smart diaper is potentially hackable. First of all, explain what the smart diaper is, and then tell us why it's potentially hackable.
So the smart diaper is a real thing, and it is a sensor-based diaper that can track your child's urine output, mm-hmm. Let you know when, you know, what's going on in the diaper region. And what I worry about with the smart diaper is, of course, that the data could fall into the wrong hands in the present, but I really worry about how it could potentially be used down the road. So we know data brokers and other commercial companies are aggregating, analyzing, and acting upon a lot of information about us. And the more information that we put out into the world about our kids, sometimes, you know, smart diapers, certainly they're babies, but sometimes we're doing this even before they're born with fertility tracking apps and bracelets. Right. We should expect that there are savvy entrepreneurs there that are going to do everything they can to aggregate, analyze, and act upon that information.
Yeah, no question. Now, even like the DNA testing that
exactly,
people are doing, adults are doing this. This is not just about the kids, but adults are doing this. You know, at some point, insurance companies are going to want to minimize their risk by knowing if you have a genetic proclivity for early mortality or whatever else it happens
Absolutely.
To be. And your rates are going to be based on that. Right now, they're just guessing based on what they already know, as opposed to actually creating a genetic profile for how long people are going to live. And we are now digital citizens. We are no longer our own individuals. We are just a package of Google searches and other things that we've volunteered to give people about the metrics of ourselves. And that is kind of a scary thing.
It is. And you used such an important word just now. You said volunteered. And certainly when it comes to parents and grandparents, teachers, and other trusted adults, but really parents, we are serving up a lot of this information willingly. No one has to break into our house and collect it. We are just putting it out there for the world to see. And even if we don't think the world is seeing it because we're setting our social media settings to private, for instance, we are probably putting more faith in those kinds of safeguards than we really should.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
It's so true. This is a picture of my son, John Matthew Smith, and our pet, Goldie. And we live in this beautiful house on Main Street.
Right, exactly. And think about, you know, you're talking about pet names, for instance. Think about how many password reminder questions or even the passwords we create have information like that. And the security questions we have now as adults, you know, what was your preschool teacher's maiden name or whatever, we're putting that out for everyone to see about our kids. So by the time they're our age, everyone would know their preschool teacher's maiden name and her cousin twice removed maiden name, too.
Yeah.
This freaks me out.
I know.
Ongoing information worldwide war. It's just people are fighting for all the information they can possibly get. It's all to sell us stuff, too.
And I'm telling you, people who are doing the Botox lips and all that, the rest of that stuff, the insurance companies are looking at that too, pal. I just want to say that before you get all excited about doing that duck lip thing on the Instagram and then, you know, putting the babies on the Instagram and all that. I, you know, this is the story of the 2020s and beyond. This is where this is all heading, because you're starting to see it. You're starting to see how, you know, our the motivations that we have, how if you, you know, like you saw that movie, The Great Hack, it's really important to see about the amount of information. Take the politics out of it. Just look at the amount of information that we share on Facebook and Twitter and even on Instagram that can be used to create a personality profile for everybody and then targeted, like, the, you know, as you're talking about, Leah, by these data miners and data, you know, basically the great private equity of data people that are out there that want to move these gigantic things around and find individuals to target using these exact techniques. And now you're setting your kids up for that as well. So you got to be very, very careful. The book is called Sharenting. Thank you very much for your time, Leah. It's great. And again, you're on the cutting edge of what people need to be talking about.
Well, thank you so much. This was an awesome conversation. Thanks for reaching out.
Thanks. Leah Plunkett right there from Harvard. They know things at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Yale sucks, and they know that they're better. That's what they know. So one thing they know. All right, we're going to talk about this. 312-981-7200. Are you sharing too much? Do you know somebody is sharing too much? Are you annoyed by your best friend because she can't stop posting pictures of her kids? And the kids aren't even looking. 312-981-7200. Lauren? News coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. On 720 WGN at the top of the hour. All right, we were talking about sharenting. Are you sharenting?
We actually have a really good question from 847. If I don't use social media myself, do I need to be concerned about relatives sharing photos and information about my kids? I would say absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, plenty of people are sharing pictures from family parties, or if they're proud aunts and uncles or grandparents, and they don't know the dangers of it. So
yeah, and if you read more into this, as Bro was talking about, like information wars, it's not always so much what you're putting out there, it's what people that are following you or people you follow on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, what did you like? So, and then they can pull so much information, they can tie it back to you personally. It's just insane if you read about what's being done in this world of information warfare. There's actual technology being built in other countries. Like, that's the name of the game now.
Right. If you go back to, again, the movie The Big Hack, and again, that's about politics, but it really applies to everything that's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That it depends. You are what you Google. We had this guy on last week who talked about exactly that. You now, to marketers and to people who want to sell you stuff, you are just an aggregation of Google searches. You are no longer an individual, but because your Google searches put you into an archetype, it puts you into a silo of similar people. I mean, you see this in social media anyway, right? We're kind of wondering whether it's in politics or entertainment or anything else that people are consuming. You wonder, like, why do they know about that and I don't know about it, right? And something that's become so obvious, whatever it is, piece of information, a song, whatever. It's because you're in a different silo where you haven't yet been exposed to it. And then you need people who are crossing over between the silos to introduce to your silo of similar thinking people in social media or similarly angled people, if you will, toward a goal, whatever it happens to be, professional or personal. Once that enters in, then it becomes part of your little ecosphere inside your group of friends. And now for parents, parents are an interesting problem because that's what probably the largest group in America of people who are being targeted by the marketers, because they want to sell you everything for your kids, and especially first-time parents. And you just want to take as many pictures as possible. I mean, that's what you were doing before social media. You took pictures on a camera, you took videos, and you bored your family with them, right? Even family that was related to the kid. You're going to have to watch. Oh, look at how cute he is. He's wriggling. He's always going poo. Look at that. See, you can tell. That was one style. As soon as the video camera was invented, You videotape two things: your kids and the making of the kids. Those were the two things that you videotaped.
Well, now social media is a complete open window into your life. It's telling them everything they need to know based off what you like,
right,
what you're posting. It's literally a window that they're looking through, and they're like, they like to eat here, they like to dress like this. The first time I freaked out about it, and I thought that they're listening to me, and maybe Maybe they are. But I had a group of friends over, and they were all heading out to a big hiking trip, like a three-day hiking trip. I don't really do that, any of that. So the next day...
yeah, we got that.
Yeah. The next day, I'm getting like bombarded with REI, the store, the outdoor hiking store. Mm-hmm. I'm getting bombarded with those ads. And I'm like, well, how could... I've never even Googled once in my life. And so my niche thought was, okay, maybe they're listening to me. Or maybe they were able to target me because they saw my friends posting something about going on a hiking trip.
See, that's what the big hack...
And then they,
Back to that issue. The big hack worked because what Cambridge Analytica was doing was it was looking not at just you. It was looking at all your friends on Facebook and what your friends were doing on Facebook. And then it was putting people into different categories to say, all right, is this person inclined to purchase this kind of an item? Are they people who are, and the people they were targeting were people who were kind of wishy-washy, hadn't made up their mind about things. And it's not just about politics. They had not made up their mind about whether they like Coke or Pepsi.
Right. Well, they kind of worked the ad because then I'm like, I'm looking at these ads. I'm like, well, they're going to have a fun hiking trip. Let me click on this. Maybe I can.
So
it works. Is it too late to come, guys? Let's go to REI real quick. I can get some gear. So it's pretty, it's to me, it's scary more than anything.
Well, we have to take back our own individuality and our own identity.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Well, and that's what part of the great hack is about the guy who was basically wanted to go to court or whatever, fight it legally because he felt his identity had been stolen from him.
Right.
How do we protect the identity of all of us? Where should the legal ramifications come from, or what should they be?
And private surfing is one way, but again, like the lady from Harvard just told us, that's not necessarily foolproof.
Right.
We don't know what else.
Never know.
Cookies are the most important thing.
And I've been getting a lot more lately of going to a browser and getting an alert that says our browser/cookie policy has changed.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this now?
That's actually about something right now. That's actually a change that has now been made that is now available to these marketers that just opened up a whole new front for them, which is they can drop cookies in that are unrelated to what it is that you're looking at. And that's what they're trying to do. And then they want to track you. Basically, a cookie is a digital tag.
Right.
They're basically like hunting us down on the Serengeti, tackling us to the ground, hitting us with a dart of something that we want to go look at. And then they're inserting a cookie in our ear, essentially. You know, they're stapling it to your ear. You ever wonder about like the deer that get tagged in their ears and then they come back to the deer pack or whatever it is? And then they're like, hey, where'd you get that?
What's Frank got on his ear?
That's so stupid what you've got there. Why would you do that to yourself? Well, that's kind of what's happening here. We're the deer with the tag in its ear showing back up at the deer family.
Aside from just studying us, they are also trying to manipulate us, which is
right.
Influence
the really
us.
Scary part.
Yes. And especially if we haven't made up our mind about something. That's they're only looking for people who haven't made up their mind.
It's You've the made little up your devil mind. On your shoulder, like, you should do this. Mm-hmm. It will be fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's
first time I've listened to that one a few times.
Terrifying to me, and I'm just going to go live alone somewhere on an abandoned island. And
tell me, this is the second time this has come up today. Maybe that Unabomber shack in the forest is not the worst thing in the world.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just we'll all get off the grid. No one will know where anyone is at any time.
Well, there are people who are doing that. You can't live like that. But I think because most people can't and they need the convenience of the internet, they need the convenience and the capability of all of these things. There has to be a way to reestablish our sovereignty, our individual sovereignty.
Correct.
So that the concept of being a digital citizen is voluntary as opposed to, and there will be an incentive to do it. I'm sure there already is an incentive to do it. Right? They initially incentivized it. Now it's too late. The dam is broken and you're giving up your information left and right without even knowing that you're giving up your information left and right. And you're thinking, oh, it's my information. What difference does it make? Well, it will eventually make a difference when hospitals won't serve you, when insurance companies choose to charge you exorbitant rates. They're like, well, what's the difference here? Well, the difference is they know things about you that you gave them. And back to the main reason we started talking about this, which is you want to protect your kids. So when little Ethan and little... whatever the... the name that is actually not a name, but it is a noun for something completely different. You have named your child. They learn something about that, right? Mm-hmm. They learn little Joshua here, who was, you know, mm-hmm. getting hacked. When Joshua, you know something about the parents because they named their kid Joshua. They've now created an algorithm that identifies that yep. because it turns out we're not as individuals we think we are. And that's part of the scary thing. So when you have an opportunity to do something predictable on the internet, do the exact opposite.
Just start liking everything, and then they'll have no idea what to do.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. And make sure you have very distinct set principles on things. Mm-hmm. Because if you do have distinct principles on things, they're not going to bother you because they figure they can't sell something to you. You've already made up your mind. All right. We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then Justin Kaufman coming your way right after.
Radio Chicago, WGN.